Lick the shit out of it.
Don't
Barley.
Lick it.
Eat that. Eat that.
Don't eat it.
Eat that cream.
Don't eat Kim's caffeine.
Eat that cream.
Get that shit, yo.
You wouldn't like Kim without caffeine. It wouldn't be a good idea.
You one of them boys now, Barley. You one of the big boys. Get in and start slurping up that wonderful Dairy Queen product. Get it in your veins.
I did not know the ghost of Dusty dog. Rose was going to be joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, baby. Times is hard. Times is hard. Times is hard, Diddy.
Do you remember Metalocalypse, the blues episode? Where he's like, he got decapitated and he's like, while his head was spinning in the air, he wrote Blues Train A-Comin' Blues.
Yes, I do. I actually do.
Oh, wait. That's the perfect song ever. Put back wrong.
Tree full of guts.
Holy time, video games, all the blues, comedy and bitches. Holy time, video games, all the blues, comedy and bitches.
The rock and roll clown.
XL5.
And now we have the majestic cocaine. Waterfall here at the Woodworth Palace.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Ooh.
Still better than Jeremy is so wealthy in podcasting he has his own personal waterfall.
That's the sound of urine going through the pipes.
I will believe that what I want to believe, sir.
That is all pee from urine. That's actually my daughter peeing. That's how strong
she
her stream is.
She pees a gallon at a time.
She is one of the strongest streams you can ever hear.
Is that inherited?
She's actually in the 95th percentile. I'm really proud of my daughter's streaming
and
capabilities.
And only 4 years old.
Yeah, it's pretty
so
impressive.
So she's peeing at a 10th grade level?
Peeing at a 10th grade level. She's peeing at a Philippine hooker level right
wow.
now.
Jesus. So
that is, it's a strong stream.
You gotta be careful.
You better have a shotgun, am I right?
There could be some local morning show people trying to hunt her down.
After the funneling.
I guess that's it. Are we ready to start? Welcome to Quality Time, everybody.
Thank you.
Quality Time has started.
It's great to be here.
The podcast with the modcast.
We start as soon as it gets uncomfortable.
Yes.
When was it not uncomfortable? Second question.
It never is actually totally comfortable. Yeah. There's always a feeling in the air that, you know, maybe one of us is going to snap at any time right now.
Everybody's,
we're not really sure.
Everybody's face gets cherry red. That's when we begin.
You know the feeling as they're telling the happy part of the story in an episode of Snapped? That's what this is like.
No, 100%. I agree
Damn
with
it.
You, Kimberly.
Oh, you were getting there.
And let me introduce the two co-hosts. My name is Eric Woodworth, and I'm also joined here on my left with Miss Kimberly Ambrose. How are you doing, Kim?
I'm tired. It's a Sunday. We banged it out this weekend.
Yeah, you know, I was ridiculously tired all day.
I was
but we'll
exhausted.
Get to what we were into
we're
yesterday later on in the show.
And she's looking very metal tonight, all black.
Yeah, she was super metal.
But
and
yeah,
then I'm also here with my brother, the man I love, and the person that I want to kick in the balls every day, Jeremy Woodworth. Jeremy.
You're absolutely wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's on the show today?
I am Robert Siegel of NPR. So
Robert Siegel.
Welcome.
Yes.
We're
going to be talking about seagulls and the environment. So that's what our show is about.
I think it was Justin Hancock who said that seagulls are the homeless people of the sky.
You know what I like to do in my spare time is just to put as many beer holders around seagulls' necks and watch them fly. So they like that. They like beer holders.
It's like one of those Renaissance period floofy neck things.
I also like girls on clear tables to pee over top of me. So.
Oh,
I'm
well,
Robert Siegel from NPR.
Robert Siegel. I enjoy defecation on a clear table while I sit underneath it with goggles on, even though I don't need them.
But only for money. Let's not judge. Yes. Okay.
Would you like a foot rub? Hey. Robert Siegel.
Yeah. You. Oh, you weren't asking. Okay, sorry.
Again? Another comedian?
Little known fact, brother of Katie Siegel.
Huh.
Married with children. That's just a little known fact about that.
Wow.
You know, that's what we're here about on Quality Time. We spread wealth of knowledge. A cornucopia of facts, if you will.
You could call it a podcast or an encyclopedia. Whatever hashtag you want to use to find us.
But before we introduce our special guest who's on the show, he's actually waiting very patiently.
to be chimed in.
He's just ready to explode.
Listening to the pipes that are slowly about to burst in the basement of Wonder down
building.
Here. We just wanted to throw out there, guys, make sure you follow us on Podbean or on iTunes and give us a goddamn 5-star rating. Is that so much to ask? We need that shit. Mostly because iTunes doesn't give you statistics, so the only way that you can do it is by the 5-star rating so we can climb the wall of never-ending podcasts. So with that, we need your help. Give us a 5-star rating. We will read it on the show, even if it's bad. Like, say you have a bad review, we'll read it, but give us a 5-star rating. Otherwise, you null and void your thing.
Yes.
All right?
And
so check us out. Do that.
And if you give a 1-star, blame it on Jeremy. Sorry.
Okay, cool.
I was cutting the promo, and you fucked it all up. You fucked it up, man. I tried it.
Okay, I feel like, Eric, I feel like, you know how the government leaves aside money every year in their budget for petty thievery from retail stores? Like, yeah. Well, maybe not the government, but, like, companies, they do this, like, retail stores. You need to leave an area of ratio that he's gonna fuck up.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Put it in the budget.
I just need to accept it.
Budget it in.
I thought he would improve with time, and I realized that's not going to happen.
That's a mistake on your part.
He is king. He is king and emperor of editing. That's all that matters.
Yes.
So.
To much of my chagrin,
he's the Palpatine of editing.
I'm the general, the Emperor Palpatine of editing.
I am the Senate.
Every time I hear Jerry talk, I just go no. But we do have a very special guest here, a man of Baltimore legend and lore,
yes.
I'll say. I say legend because he's not in the comedy scene, not as active as he used to be, but still
still on the lips of a very still influential conversation.
Listen, there's not a day goes by that I don't talk to a local comedian and this gentleman's name comes up. I mean,
even local. People who have passed through, people in L.A., people in New York.
Yeah. I one time met an African woman. She was...
oh, my gosh.
She's actually a princess. She emailed me.
Aww.
She said that...
If you could just put this money.
She said that she had met this gentleman and that she also had $1 million and that she was Nelson Mandela's daughter.
Oh, wow. Did you get her autograph?
I did. No, I just talked about this gentleman who's in studio with us today for like 4 days straight. And... I don't know. She's just stopped messaging me back. I hope she's okay more than anything.
Can I guess her name was Oprah?
Her name was Opa, Uganda, Malapa,
Delphine,
Malakalo.
You just made that up.
Nuh-uh.
He was reading her license plate.
Yeah.
It's all a long license
out.
Plate.
Her name was Forrest Whitaker. That's...
I'm so glad if he went tranny and still kept the funny eye. So.
Yeah, I would. Would you bang a transvestite that looked like Forrest Whitaker? Like if they remade Two
As
Wong
if I
Fu?
Haven't.
I wouldn't bang Forrest Whitaker that looks like Forrest Whitaker.
If they made Three Wong Fu with Forrest Whitaker, would you guys watch?
Unless
it?
He was really or? Funny.
Yes.
And then I would. Probably.
Well, he's a very versatile actor. I wouldn't put it past.
I
him.
Wouldn't.
He could buy. I'd buy woman Forrest Whitaker. You know, I would.
Which teacher is he going to be in Fast Times at Ridgemont High Part 2? So
yes. But we are joined in studio in the deep dark den of the Woodworth basement by Mr. Dave Schoeffer. Dave, welcome to the show, sir. Oh my gosh.
Sorry for being late.
Better late than now. You know what? We're just excited to have you here, man.
Well, we'll see how that turns out.
Listen, all you're going to do is you're going to put down on yourself, and we're not going to allow that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to encourage it more.
Okay.
More than
Well, I was trying to get to the core of the reason why this episode was.
Mm. We'll get there.
Is because, of course, we encourage as much racial
divide
prejudice as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, too.
Of pretty much every non-majority except for Jews. So
that's inconvenient to me because I don't like white people.
I don't understand the sentence you just said.
I don't think that was a sentence.
It's just the ramblings of a bad guy.
I didn't do too well in the old English classes, but I'm pretty sure that was a complete F.
I'll tell you what it was. It was fake news. That's what it was.
No, we encourage all prejudice except towards Jews.
Oh, yes, that is true. We are very... We don't encourage... That's a recurring thing on the show.
I love
show.
The conviction. Oh, no, yeah, that's true.
So you're the world's first pro-Zionist racist. Awesome.
Yeah.
There's got to be one.
No, seriously, Jews are the best people on Earth.
Seriously.
Well, there's a lot of people on this planet that would disagree with you.
But seriously, though.
That's
starting with the Romans. And the Greeks.
What have the Romans done for us?
The Egyptians, the Syrians, the Palestinians.
I watched a shit ton of Law and Order, and I'm going to disagree with you because I spent hours of my day just receiving the gifts of great Jewish production. Just a whole Jewish team of justice unfolding on television today.
I hate to say my favorite Jewish comedian.
Dick Wolf, not Jewish.
Jessica.
But everybody around him was Jewish. Goldman. Have you read the last names on the list? Executive producer.
They're just pseudonyms.
No. I hate to say my favorite female comedian Jewish. Jessica Brodkin. Oh my gosh.
What a head of hair.
She calls her Jewfro.
Yes, she's so funny.
But
I
more than that, the first time I met
Jeremy,
her.
Jeremy, you can't just throw out terms like Jewfro just because
she
you have a
said
Jewish
Jewfro,
friend that
not
uses
me.
It, right?
Not me.
Like,
I don't think it has
not
to be
me.
Automatically negative.
You're Bill Maher trying to use the N-word because you banged a black chick.
Exactly.
Right? That's not.
Yes,
that's,
I am the new Rob Mayer. Yes, I know.
Representative from Israel.
Did you try and say Rob Mayer but fail at the Rob part? Sounded like you were going for Rod, and then you tried to go through Rob right in the middle of Rod.
Rob Meyerstein.
Rod
Here we
Mayer.
Go.
So,
Rodman. Rod?
Okay, I just want to. I already did this completely wrong because I'm a moron. But I actually.
You're a Mormon?
Yes, I am a Mormon. So I love. Anyway, okay. So I actually text this message to Jessica Brodkin on Facebook that said the most beautiful moment was when she was at High Tops and she decided to jump up the little tiny stairway there, to which I saw her butt, which I thought was magical.
And she received that message and was like,
and I'm sure she thought,
she was like,
great, Mr. Creepy, yay.
It was only weird.
Fairly certain she immediately went block and moved to New York.
Yeah. No, this happened like last week. He sent this message. She hasn't lived here for 6 years. So she was like, hey, I just want you to know that I saw your butt in 2008, and I've been thinking about it ever since. And could you send me this for years. Could you send me some of your trash, or is that out of the question?
Well, you know.
Do you like orange peels? If you got those, I'll take them. So.
Some revelations are groundbreaking; others, not so much.
And then there's what Jeremy did right there.
Hello, Dope.
So, Dave Schoffer. For those of you who don't know, if I could give a brief synopsis, of what I think the local scene knows you as would be comedy promoter extraordinaire.
Well, you got two of those words are right.
Uncle Dave used to run Uncle Dave's Comedy, and
yes.
He since has retired. What is it? You've been on the
2.5 years
on the skids 2.5 years, which you wouldn't guess it by how much your name still comes up. You wouldn't guess that you haven't put on a comedy production in that long. But you did. You actually put on a lot of great shows over the years. Mm-hmm. Actually gave me a couple of shots. I got to open up for the first time for Eric Myers on a Dave show for production. And you actually had some really good quality rooms. Probably the best being the Red House Tavern.
It was a great room.
Local famous.
Mm-hmm. Sonoma's the first two and a half years was really
Myth
good.
Myth and Moonshine was really nice.
I hate to say, even before I broke my cherry, I was actually trying my virgin cherry on Dave at Sonoma's as the unnamed Vietnam Tom in the audience, to which I'm sure that I annoyed you with my first.
No, not really.
With my first.
Once I figured out you were committing to a character, I was like, that's pretty fucking brilliant.
It's still, and I did go out of my way to annoy you and pretend to call you Shofar for the first time.
Yes. Of all the people that call me by my last name, which I absolutely cannot stand, that doesn't really bother me too much because I know it's coming out of character. It's not something that you would do personal. But, I mean, now, you have taken the character from time to time a little too far when you supported your brother at Magoobie's. I remember when I was working there over the earwigs, we had Andrew just screaming at us going, who is that voice in the crowd? Get him out of here. And I'm sitting there going, we can't. He's part of another comics act. And, yeah. That was a very uncomfortable New Comics Night.
What? I was very encouraged that night because the guy who was giving me a little bit of something was Drew Landry, who kind of liked it. No. Who's Brandon Lescure? Brandon Lescure was really enjoying it.
Brandon Lescure was probably the most terrified of you than anyone else.
Really?
Like, more than I actually.
I thought he loved me.
I would have paid your legal defense fund had you killed him.
I don't know. I'm not sure Brandon Lescure liked anyone, but he tolerated many people.
Did anybody
that sounds accurate.
Did anybody like Brandon Lescure as the child in the movie Unbreakable?
I did.
The only time I rooted for the train.
I did enjoy him in that film.
You can put on more weight, Daddy. You can press more. Sorry.
Oh, wrong scene.
But anyway. So, Dave, you ran comedy rooms
a little over five years under Uncle Dave Comedy, and then I helped around about 2 years prior to that with some other people, and then I just bowed out.
And why the reason did you bow out? Was it just for your own sanity?
I'm sure there's no story behind that.
Well, I don't know if the truth should actually be exposed.
Well, you can't say that and then not tell the truth.
You got
tired of the entitlement of other comics. I got tired of the constant and you know, Eric, you have run Coco Lane, which most likely will not come back.
No, it's gone. It's 100%.
Because God destroyed it.
Well, yeah. It was the smiting of the firstborn or something. But you ran Coco Lane very successfully. You've put on some other shows around the area, and you know that when you put a call out for comics, 9 times out of 10, you'll have that one or two comics that'll email you going, "Hey, I'd love to do it. What's it pay?" Or, "Hey, I'd love to do it. I did this room. Can I headline?" And you might do a little looking at them going, "Wow, you've done comedy for all of 2.5 minutes. No.
I require a 3-week minimum, sir, if you could. Please.
But there were times where I was, you know, asking comics to do things. These were paid positions. And comics, for whatever reasons, would sit there and go, "Oh, well, you know, that's not enough money," or, "Oh, this isn't really going to happen," or, "Oh, whatever." And I got tired of it. And what kind of broke my back was one of the final shows that I was producing up in Essex. A comic was exceptionally late. He was paid to be there. Didn't give me a heads up that he was running late. Didn't give me a heads up as to why he was going to be late. And his justification for being late was, "Well, your shows never start on time, so that's why I was late." And I was like, "No,
sounds like a typical comic response."
I was like, "No, this isn't gonna work." Then I had rooms that weren't paying me. Just people.
That'll happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Just the owners of the rooms were just not paying or not paying what they were supposed to. So I was going out of pocket, and it became very challenging to keep a room going when people weren't supporting the room. Or I'd sit there and say, "Hey, this room's going to close."
It is a communal effort. Yeah. It really is.
Just running a comedy room is a very stressful thing, and I can attest to that. No matter how many people, yeah, and anybody who doesn't think it's a stressful thing has never run a comedy room.
Like,
and I can tell you that truthfully.
Yeah, for all your good intentions and all your hard work, you have to have people behind you, and the venue is a huge part of that.
There is nothing like promoting the shit out of a show and then going there and there's 12 people in the audience.
Or there's a great audience. It's a great venue and the bar staff fucking sucks.
Yeah,
I've had
that'll
it both
kill
ways.
A show.
Mm-hmm. The worst part is when you go to High Tops and you see a black guy and you're like, "Are you performing tonight?" "No."
That's what we all
he's
do.
Black.
That's what we all do, Jeremy. Yes, that is a very
okay.
Yeah, I did do that.
This is
but
Eric.
I also burned some bridges. I also made. I mean, look, I'm not gonna sit here and say that I had the cleanest name.
Well, yeah,
name,
you've had a couple of rivalries against
well,
certain
I mean,
people in the local
I've burned
scene.
Some I burned some bridges. I did some wrong things. I made some significantly bad choices and trusted the wrong people. And a lot of that was also involved in hanging it up and then, you know, having the situation in Annapolis where I was promised a run and then the owner just changed his mind last minute. The situation in Carroll County where, you know, comics were sitting there bitching and moaning going, "Oh, it's too far." And I'm like, "Hey, guys, I drive over an hour to come here and I don't get paid. And I'm giving you stage time where you are getting paid. So shut the fuck up and do your 30-minute drive." And they're like, "No, it's not, you know, it's whatever." And then to see the kind of clicky room support where you see the same same six rooms, same 200 comics. And it's like, that's not how you grow. That's not how you become a better performer. It's nice to for people to spread out and try other rooms, do other territories, work with other promoters, see what's out there. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, if you're just doing one or two rooms a week, I'm probably, at the time when I was running things, I probably wasn't really going to give you much merit unless someone vouched for you. And a lot of the people that I did trust on the comedy hierarchy really didn't vouch for a lot of people.
I feel like, and I don't know shit about shit, but I feel like your biggest mistake, and this is just me speaking as an opinion, is that you should have carried a briefcase. It makes, it just, it just makes people be like, oh, this guy is like... If you also had a watch on the same arm you're carrying the brief, it, I don't know. It's just it's like a visual thing.
Yeah, that, it reminds me of that part from The Big Lebowski. They stole my briefcase. What was in it? My work papers.
My work papers.
And what do you do for a job? I'm currently unemployed.
I'm unemployed. Yeah.
It's very similar.
What about my briefcase, man?
But briefcase gives you instant credibility. Either if you got a briefcase, you are two things: A, taking care of business, or B, about to cash in and win the WWE championship. Am I right? Okay.
Or you have a gun that's so cool it folds down, and who could be mad at you for that?
Exactly. Briefcase gun? Well, there's cool some talk. People could.
Yeah,
get mad
yeah.
At
did, cool or you have the most drugs in the whole world. Like you have every.
It's
drug.
All just a front for drugs. That's what comedy
it's
really
actually
is.
One of the rooms that I had did close because comics could not respect the fact I told them not to smoke pot.
Yeah, in the club.
And guess what, Dave? The laws are changing. So who won that? Won that?
Well, when the owner came up to me and goes, "Listen, if I catch him on camera smoking pot again, you're going to lose the room." And I had a huge fucking meeting going, "Guys, if you're going to smoke in your car,
smoke
outside,
yeah.
Smoke away from this one particular area where the owner has a fucking video camera."
Yeah.
Everyone was like, "Okay." And the next show, there
you
was
know, that,
pot smoker number one, who I will not name
you
on the podcast.
Hang signs, man.
Okay, I've gotten a new motivation.
Oh, dear God.
And I've heard it from, I want to say, I'm going to call out a name because she doesn't care. Mm-hmm. And that's Samantha Kelly.
Right.
And up and coming and very hot.
Sam
obviously.
Is very funny.
Fuck love yeah. her.
Works, so works very, very hard.
So I think I'm going to marry her. No.
Well, you know, there's a problem in that.
What you should do first.
No, I've already gone through her garbage.
I think
so.
What you should do first is just wait 6 years and then send her a message that says, "One time you turned around and I thought the side of your cheek looked really cute."
Jeremy, I think that...
She looks so damn good in flannel. She thinks she's hot.
Just pure logistics aside, I think
her and all the women she dates agree with you.
Yeah, that might be the problem right there is she's into women.
If I can just watch, that's all I care about.
But Jeremy's
about.
Not like even a man. He's just like a mythical beast.
My penis is so small, it's like a
he's
clitoris.
A
Jeremy is basically the...
Mantar.
Jeremy is like the demigod of psoriasis. So
I'm a little less dick.
So I'm only calling her out because I think that she actually said on Facebook that's like how many times now that she's done her stand up and people have actually given her like a little bag of weed after the show.
That's so awesome.
Which is like better payment than actually getting paid.
No, but Dave, I can attest to that. When I was running Coco Lane for a long time, everybody always liked to smoke dope out on like the little balcony over there. And
perfect.
I like no matter how many times I tell people, I'm like, dude, they really fucking hate it when you do that. And like I mean it, like we have a bounce. We never used to have a bouncer up there, and we had to have a bouncer, which took part of the pay that went into the show. So I took a pay cut so they could pay the bouncer to be there every night, because we either have a bouncer because people can't not smoke pot up here or whatever. So
it was perfect for smoking weed.
Am I allowed to say who I almost smoked weed with at Coco?
Well,
I'm not
no,
saying
but I will,
that I agree with it. I'm just saying, look, you took money out of my pocket
politically,
by everybody smoking.
I will also say this,
when this situation was happening at Coco Lane, Eric was really nice and kind to a lot of the people that were smoking. He was very nice. He'd pull him aside. He wasn't coming off angry. He was just like, guys, you're
gonna
do
this. Yo, I didn't
pull
the Dave chauffeur.
Like, yeah.
I'm not a fucking animal.
Right, no, but he was being polite and stuff, and then there was this one time where there was a group of people that were just smoking in the wrong section, and I just saw Eric just shake his head going, "Well, that's the room. We're done. And he walked back in, and everyone's like, "Why is Eric mad?" And Rob Mayer, who was there, was like, "Because you idiots don't fucking listen."
Yes.
He told you not to do something. You went ahead and did it. The lights are still on. The guy right over there, that's the guy that's actually calling the owner.
Yes.
And literally, like, I remember you had a huge Facebook post or it was, or in the community group, we were like, guys, I don't know if we're having a show next week. I'm talking with the owner. You put me in a real awkward position.
Yeah, this can happen.
And then several people were banned, to which the ban of the several people, couple people, that ban was lifted within 2 weeks. One person, that ban was permanent. It was awesome.
Well, there was only one person who really got banned, and that was Chris Restivo, who got banned for smoking pot.
I thought you were going to say Michael Friedman.
And Michael Friedman, hardcore drug
only
user.
Only two.
King of the ganja.
Here's all I'm saying, okay? My smokers, let me just bend your ear for a second.
Listen to the voice of reason.
Cobblestone floor. Mm-hmm. Imagine, if you will, you walk upstairs,
correct,
and then somehow you end up partially outside.
Correct.
It was like open area. There was like trees growing out of the side of a mountain, side rocks. It was really fucking perfect temperature all the time. Now, I don't want to blame the victim, but maybe the room, if it didn't want pot to be smoked in it, it shouldn't have dressed like that.
Correct.
That's all I'm saying.
Kim, does make sense, except most of the complaints were not coming from the staff and management of Coco. They were coming from the apartments above.
Yeah, they're...
Again, you made a life decision
to
live above a bar where some really rad shit is going down, bro.
I don't know if that night I was actually smoking weed, but
I believe you were mainlining horse cum.
I'm offended by all the fun and friendship that's happening right now. I don't love it.
Okay, I don't want to... I can't say for sure I was smoking weed, but... At one
horse semen? Were you smoking horse semen?
I'm pretty sure at one point, through one of the rocks, John Denver came out and he said, "Are you feeling that Rocky Mountain high, dude?" So, which may be kind of strange, but when he crawled back into it and kind of angled himself like he's going into an elephant anus.
10 points, anyone knows John Denver's real name.
Denver John.
This is actually really weird. John Denver actually is...
His actual name was David Bowie.
No.
Wrong.
John Denver, this is a little known fact, but John Denver actually is the alter ego of Chuck Norris. It's the exact opposite that he likes to portray himself as.
It's his Sasha Fierce?
Yeah. Nope. He goes out, because he's such a badass and overly manly that he created the persona as John Denver.
It's his Chris Gaines.
Yes, that's his Chris Gaines.
You hush your tongue, Chris. Chris Gaines is due for a ripe comeback.
His actual name was David Colorado.
Chris Gaines, the only good thing that ever came out of that was when he was on Saturday Night Live and they have that sketch of Will Ferrell as the devil selling him. He wants him to sell his soul and he can't think of a cool song. One of my fucking favorite things ever.
Wait a minute. It's got code to be. It's like, on the highways, on the byways, Mr. Robotron. I'm trying to.
Fred's got slacks on the boulevard.
Fred got slacks is a hit.
They're a little tight in the waist. Ooh, Fred's got slacks. That's the
I'll answer the question since no one knows. It is John Dusseldorfer.
John Dusseldorfer.
That was his real last
Fuck
name.
Fuck out of here.
I feel like that should be
like a great Jew.
Dolph Lundgren's real name.
He was Jewish.
Dolph Lundgren's real name. Yeah. Swedish.
Dusseldorf.
And a doctor.
Makes more sense, though. A Dusseldorfer Swede?
If a doctor told you you had a Dusseldorf growing between your, something on you, would you be concerned?
I would.
It does sound like cancerous.
It does.
It does. A Dusseldorfer?
I come in peace. In pieces.
Either that or a small, retarded dwarf creature that also makes candy.
I like that.
That's also a Dusseldorf. Yeah. One of the things also that I swear the local comedy scene loves about you, Dave, is that and Joe Robinson has said it best, is like, I don't have to promote anything I do. He was just like, because I just go on Twitter and Dave Schoffer has already tweeted about my show preemptively.
When it comes to Joe has so much on his plate. Pausing for someone to say what Joe has, but
he has so much on his pie plate finisher.
But well, that's he's perfecting
that pie plate. Joke he is. This whole
he's time. The, Joe is one of the comics of the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area that is, I would say, confounded by technology. The man has a smartphone, but yet doesn't really seem to able. It just puzzles him at all times. I figure if I can tweet out a Joe Robinson show, it's more power to Joe.
It is true, but there's a whole rack of us comics that you go on and you retweet and you share Facebook posts, and it's very, we definitely appreciate it. I want you
I've kind of slacked on the Facebook. I kind of use more Twitter because it's easier to use for that stuff. Some people like Twitter, some people don't. I know. I know there are some people that are Instagram fans, and all they use is their Instagram account. I know some people are Snapchats.
Mm.
And so be it. But I will, if it's someone that I like and someone that I know that has been working hard, or someone that I have a personal relationship to or have personal respect for, I'll definitely retweet it or definitely create something about it and go from there.
Nice, nice. Back to a couple more of the Dave Show for controversies over the years.
Okay? Oh, there have been many.
Dave Show for Controversy first, 1.
Controversy number 1 was the conception of Dave Show for. Why did it happen?
Why do comedy? No. you had a bit of a rivalry over the years with one T. Brad Hudson. Would you like to either elaborate?
A little awkward.
Add on to it?
Why? Is he here?
He's not here. But
a little awkward.
But, Brad and I, we've shook hands, we've talked, Brad's obviously in a different place.
Are you guys into docking?
Well, yeah. we're kind of circling that.
That's something we like to talk about.
They
in this
love the band Docking.
I mean, honestly, look, Brad helped me in getting the idea of running rooms together, and Brad and I had a lot of conversations.
Because you guys started as friends, right?
We started as friends, and
buddies,
I helped out
right?
at the room.
That's how it always starts.
And it was... It was a really good thing, and when I started running my own shows, I actually offered him those rooms, like, hey, do you want to run these? He's like, no, this is you. You run it the way you wish, and I gave him some stage time, and I was always very supportive. But things were there were times and things where I just didn't understand certain rationales, didn't understand certain reasons. I would continually support his room, making the hour drive to go to High Tops, making the 40-minute drive to go to some other rooms that he would run from time to time. Never once did he come to the rooms that I ran. He always had some reason, or he just, oh, well, if you don't book me, I'm not going to show up, which I was kind of like, well, you can't support, but you talk about support. And then, you know, there were comics that, for whatever reasons, didn't care how I ran things or how I treated people, how I interacted with people, and they ran to T-Brad to complain.
So what do you want to name drop any of these comics that I actually, you had a falling out with?
He never really told me. Like one day at High Tops when we were still speaking, he just pulled me aside one day and he goes, hey, people were talking, they did it, and I said, Brad, if people have a problem with me, they got to come to me. Mm. They don't go to you. This comedy scene, however it is in Baltimore and D.C., whatever, if you have a problem with a promoter, talk to the promoter. Don't talk to the person that knows the promoter. Don't talk to the fourth wife of the promoter. Like, if someone has an issue with you in one of the shows that you run, mm-hmm. they should contact you, Eric Woodworth. They should not contact your wife or Kim or Jeremy or, you know, Rob Mayer or Joe Robinson, because, frankly, those people don't run your room.
Well, I just say that doesn't ever bother. Listen, you can. You just won't get on the show. I mean, you
that's
can.
That's how I feel.
Do it till yeah. you're blue in the face.
That's
but it's
how
not going to help you, right?
Yeah.
Putting rumor and innuendo, there is the rumor and innuendo out there that mm-hmm. over time that one of the issues was that I don't know names, and this is just me being truthful. I have no idea.
Head injuries, I understand.
Who these people were that were in question. But I've heard murmurings, but nobody who could ever give me the facts on it, of possible impropriety through text or phone calls with certain female comics that I truthfully don't know. Would you want to elaborate on that at all? Or?
He's in the hot seat now.
I know. That's a tough question.
Say,
if he doesn't want to answer,
I want to know this. Can we have a theme song for the hot seat?
I believe that's another person's podcast. That actually, it's a group podcast.
That was fun. That was a good time. I like that. Can we loop that? I like that.
Do it one more time, please, for the cheap seats.
Confessions.
You got that, though?
That was great.
Can we add a little music behind that?
There we go. We'll do that
compared
later.
To all the other things that he has to edit
Oh, wow. It's going around the room. To answer that question, honestly, and look, yes, it happened. There were times where I would make the leap in my head that, oh, this person's nice to me. This person, I think, enjoys my company. Maybe this person would like to know me outside of comedy. And 9 times out of 10, the answer was no, I was wrong. I misread signs, I misread signals, I misread whatever, and some people handled it very well. They're like, okay, you know, hey, no harm, no foul. Others, not so much. But there was no real, like, There were rumors that I was hearing about myself where I would sit there and be like hearing about the whole being shady, where I was like, hey, if you want this show, come over to my house and da 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 da, and you get headlining. I'm
so
like,
you weren't black couch casting. You were trying to black couch.
No, there was no black couch. There was no, trust me, I am in no
First
position.
First of all, that's racist.
Wait until my parents go to bed and we are going to get it on.
That too. Look, no one wants to get it on with me. Trust me, I have a streak going that Cal Ripken looks at going, whoa.
Dude, the day I can become gay, we are getting it on.
That's why I live in an area that you're not allowed in. It's got a nice large gate and a moat and a dragon and 50 calibers on standby.
Look, I got the piece of plywood with the mm-hmm. hole, and you're going through the hole.
He's
so
real,
it's all good.
He's real low self-esteem till he's cocky about where he lives.
So
yeah. I'm a piece of shit, but you're not welcome where I fucking live. I'll tell you that right
hey!
Now.
It's a mythical place in my head.
So,
but yeah, I mean that happened throughout the years of running comedy.
So there you go. Listen, local comedy scene. If you're listening to this, listen, Dave fessed up to it. He fucked up many years ago, and
it's admirable.
It's admirable to say I made a mistake.
And it was ballsy.
I made more
several,
than a mistake.
several times over a period of years.
I made more than a mistake, and in fact, there's a couple people that sit there and still bring it up, thinking it's funny.
It's petty.
And it's now beyond the it's petty, but it is funny. Not to me.
Of course not.
Well, yeah. But
this is America and democracy.
Well, Dave, true enough.
This is another
funny
thing I wanted to get into before. I know over the years, and truthfully, I don't know exactly what your condition is, but it's my understanding that you do have a condition. And no, I'm being serious. I mean, I'm not.
No, don't
around.
We all? Don't like, we fucking all?
We're all emotionally damaged people down
yes.
here. Jeremy has been committed
That's
on
why
more
we're
than
here.
One occasion. You have to understand
everybody
that.
In comedy is completely normal.
That's why we're here today. Now
I'm going to hang myself after I look at tonight.
Dave, what would a lucky Jeremy? Calm yourself for a second. Jesus Christ!
Oh my God, you're going to hang yourself? Jealous?
It'll start out as erotic asphyxiation and then. And turn into a normal hanging.
I came here for the cum. I stayed for the inability to breathe.
So
it's Thursday. Got it.
Oh, Mark for Mark has to hang himself. Oh, how will I feel? Ooh,
oh,
Mindy!
God. That's the darkest thing you've ever
also,
said.
No, there's a lot of darker things.
Also,
we don't
Dave,
count the dog. Sir.
Sure.
Dave, what have doctors diagnosed you as, if there is a doctor's diagnosis? And that you feel comfortable sharing,
We
of
could
course.
Go around the table.
You could just say that there is a diagnosis and not share that,
what
but if you're willing to share that
what
with
he's,
the show.
What he's trying to say is, mm-hmm. do you drink like until you're crazy drunk until you start making really depressing Facebook posts at night?
No, oh, I wasn't trying to get at that. No, I was.
That's a natural talent, my friend.
That is not what I was trying to get at.
Look, of all the talents God gave me, I think that might be the only one that will never go away. Everything else has. My ability to breathe unassisted.
Are you diagnosed with anything?
I'm diagnosed with many of things.
List them alphabetically.
And when did it happen?
So where? Is it your run-of-the-mill depression?
No. Are you talking about that stuff?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
go down that road?
Well,
do you want to go physical side or mental side? Which way do you want to go?
It's where you want to go.
Let's go mental side.
Mental side? So I have... I have chronic depression, shocker. I also have what is called manic deep depression, which is in the subcategory of chronic. I have physical onset anxiety disorder, panic and anxiety disorder, and social anxiety disorder. That's on the mental side.
90% you can blame on a Jewish mother.
You're not that far off. You are not that far off.
Maybe you could have been a doctor or a lawyer, but what are you doing? You're doing comedy. I
actually had the conversation 2 days ago with...
You realize you're essentially yeah. Jeremy Woodworth, but you have a Jewish mother, right? Like, that's
right.
exactly...
You still have a good full head of hair.
You guys could prescription swap, and you wouldn't even miss
oh, I don't
a beat,
think he wants,
right?
I don't think he wants the stuff that I'm on. The stuff that I'm on is not fun. But, I mean, it's... No, he's not too far off from a conversation I had with my mother a couple days ago, where she actually looked at me, and she goes... She's like, well, you need to do something with your life. And I'm like, Mom, I'm an addict. It doesn't work that way. She goes, well, you're not doing it now, so can't you just move forward?
Why don't you make her enjoy your cock and balls?
Yes.
Okay, that
Thank
too.
You.
Cock and balls, yes. But to my mother, who has 4 degrees, three of which are in the field of mental health and welfare for children. So for her to actually say, well, you're not doing it now, you should be able to move forward, I just was like, you know what? Let's not talk to each other. Let me go downstairs before I go into like a really bad spazzy rage. And yeah, it was bad.
You've also battled with sobriety.
Well, and that's just something that I really, really kept quiet. A lot of people didn't know. I mean, a lot of people knew. I had talked from time to time about being clean and sober clean and sober from drugs for many, many years. But I was abusing alcohol and really didn't tell anybody. And because I've had this party trick ability to drink a lot of alcohol and really not have it affect me or appear to be affected, I just kind of kept my mouth shut about it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really drink much at shows. I saw how people that ran shows, when they drank, things got out of hand. But in my personal life, at home, I would drink. Sometimes on the road, you know, if I was going to a show, seeing somebody perform, I would drink a lot there and then drive home. And then people are like, how did you get home? I'm like, I drove. And they're like, really? And using drugs, I am an addict in recovery from opioids, a lot of the synthetic pain pills. So hydrocodone, oxycodone, Percocet, medical grade, morphine, and some other stuff that I'd rather not mention.
Could you handle a 30?
Or as Eric Woodworth in 2007 called, a good time.
Yeah. I was, at one point, I was doing 80 gram perks.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. That's impressive, sir. You.
But
that's expensive.
Not if you're getting it from a hospital.
Well, yeah.
So, okay, wow.
Yeah, and I kind of just spiraled out of control, mixing all these pain meds in my body with alcohol. And
did you ever poop? Because anytime I've done opioids, I'm
telling
Eric
Woodworth with the hard hitting questions.
Like once, like
no,
ever.
I'm honest to God. I've been prescribed opioids multiple times. I've done them. They block me up like the Dickens.
Even with coffee.
Wow. There was one time after my surgery, I had a hernia surgery in 2009.
Dick
very
replacement.
Painful. Yeah, full dick replacement.
Your
twice
butthole
the size of Samantha Kelly's. And
your butthole got filled up like one, the Dickens.
But one half the size of Kim's.
One half the size of Kim's.
Let's not judge preemptively.
Listen,
I'm a powerful person, and I think I deserve the respect of the benefit of the doubt.
Kim can actually rape a man.
Yeah, with my mind. With my mind.
Our clitoris.
There is a list of bodies behind her yard. Just littering of bodies.
Oh my gosh, I'm being raped by a woman!
Don't act like you don't like it.
No, when I had the surgery, I did, you know, it was painful, and it was one of the most painful surgeries I ever had.
Yeah, you were locked up, like the Dickens.
So I was popping those Percocets like they were fucking Skittles for that week, because I just did not want to feel that, like, physical pain.
What a fucking degenerate.
And I pride myself as being a rather tough person. By the way, we'll mention a thing that happened at the show this weekend before we, before the end of the show. That happened to me, that Justin was very impressed with my level of tolerance. Of pain. So I did this, and it had been, I'm going on day 8 without pooping.
No.
And I'm off the meds, but it's like 3 days with no meds, and I'm still not doing it. I'm fucking.
You are backed up.
I'm enemaing it up, right? And I sat there, and I was like, I woke up day 8, and I was like, all right, today's the day, and it's getting out there. I brewed a pot of coffee, okay? A whole pot of the darkest, blackest, fucking WD-40 style black coffee, straight with the grinds in the coffee. So I was like, I want the grinds in there with it. I went in there. I had a full tin of fucking Grizzly Chew, which also induces me to poop, because I used to use the dip many times.
Our new sponsor, Grizzly Chew.
And I hunkered down on that toilet with a pot of coffee and a tin of Chew, and I was like, I'm not getting up until there's some goddamn poop that comes out of me here. And I, for about an hour and a half, got out what was like the size of a king size Tootsie Roll out of
Jesus.
Me, and I had never felt so relieved. I knew there was more, but I was just like, goddamn, we made some fucking strides today. We made some real fucking strides.
Mr. Postman, look and see. Is there a letter in your bag for me? Was there? Yeah, there was.
It was like letting the air out of a fucking balloon that was about to explode. That little bit was so much release. And I was like, oh my God. And then later that day, I was just pounding coffee. The next morning when I woke up, I finally had what could honestly be described as a shit the size of Louis Gossett Jr. that I produced out of my body. An entire actor who from Iron Eagle I put into a toilet. Jeez. From my
mayonnaise.
Wow.
Can I throw Dave the biggest bone tonight?
What's that?
When I went insane at age 18.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy,
I'll make it 30 seconds.
It's been covered on past episodes. If you'd like to go into the archives in
depth. No, I haven't. I haven't covered it in last episodes.
Jeremy, you 100% have covered this in
No,
past
I
episodes,
didn't.
But go ahead. Yeah, share your story.
Synopsis.
No, I didn't. I went insane when I was 18, and I literally thought I had, like, magical powers.
No one said
you
didn't.
Which was bad.
All right, tell me
that's
where,
a bad thing.
Tell me where you lost touch with reality, though.
The loss in touch with reality was when I looked into my girlfriend's mother's eyes and I felt like a demon came into me. Whoa. And that was bad. I knew that was bad.
That's the quote of the podcast. Quality time.
That was a bad sign.
That's what goes on our new stickers.
But
mark the 50-minute mark. That is the title of the show.
Yes.
It came to full fruition when my grandfather took me to the hospital because I was acting out like a complete mental case. And
sort of like
six
our current president?
Guys, I wish I was that sane.
Oh,
no, they, six guys holding me down as I sing Iron Maiden's Number of the Beasts. And then...
Have you been reading my dream journal?
If you find any similarities, thank God, and try to get the same demon out of your life. Okay, so they take me to...
Why I compulsively cry.
They take me to Gundry Glass, which is now not mental anymore, and they lock me in a quiet room, and the shit that's going in my head, I could write a book about. The best part is when they think that they're going to try out, like, see, is he still insane? Let's try him out. I swear, this guy looks like a chubby Woody Allen with extra long white hair, so he looks kind of like an old Jesus.
Doc Brown comes to mind?
No, very Jewish. Very Jewish. So who do I think? I think that it's actually Jesus. So I feel like I'm in prison, and the thing that...
Jeremy, why are you here?
The thing that... I have no problem with a Jewish Jesus. I'm totally cool if Howard Stern looked exactly like Jesus. Here's the thing. He takes me, and he opens up the door, and I figure, I'm in hell. I'm literally locked in hell. I'm going to try to put Jesus into my cell and force the door against him. That's when they really doped me up. and then after a couple of weeks, I came back to reality. So after they doped me up, so on a fuck ton of Haldol. So age 18. Yay. So
not too sure what the point of that recap was, but
I remember,
thanks for sharing.
I remember the shrinks were saying, we called you schizoform because you seem totally normal now, but you were shit ton crazy about a fucking couple of weeks ago. So
I got two more things to go over before we have our next guest come on, and we'll take a little brief break here. But
a break?
Dave, I think the thing that you are probably most infamous and notorious for at this point are your constant posts that about your depression and anxiety and stuff like that, and I don't know what I even want to hear from you about this. I don't know what I'm trying to get out of you. But
are you scratching the surface or are you sealing the well? One are you doing?
Let me just okay. I'm just gonna. This is a Dave Schoffer post. Okay,
and
I'm
from
just gonna, this is one from Twitter that I put, well, because it's a very heavy thing.
Put a date code on that, buddy.
Listen, because it's a very heavy thing, I didn't post this, but for me to read it, I put it to the background of a Lisa Frank picture right here, which helps me.
I like the cat.
Just helps me feel more comfortable.
Can I describe it?
Yes.
Did Tommy Simbazo put that picture together?
No,
Eric
did.
I did.
Oh, okay.
Eric has graphic skills.
It's a white kitten that has rainbow stripes on it and rainbow angel wings, and it looks like everything's almost inflated. Like everything's very shiny and pulp looking.
It's a happy kitty.
It's in clouds. There's rainbow butterflies.
And the kitty has wings.
Mm-hmm.
The kitty has wings that look like balloon
kitty.
Almost. Like. The caption I put on it, just it's Dave Schoffer
smiling kitten
from Twitter. Mm. I've never felt more physically and mentally alone and ignored than I do right now.
I think that's what a week ago, maybe five days
about
ago?
A week ago.
Yeah.
And then here's another one. These are legit cry for help tweets, mm-hmm. but this one I put to this pretty jaguar picture because I think it made it feel
again,
a jaguar
pup.
I feel like it's a cub. This is a
colorful
jaguar pup, and it says, "I wish I never was." So, Dave,
yes, sir.
What? We know we've talked about your depression
so
and anxiety. We know we shouldn't be laughing at this. We shouldn't be laughing.
No, you know
this.
What?
This is a serious
no,
thing.
It's okay because everybody goes through what they go through in their own way. We all cope in our own ways. Dave is brave enough to admit his faults, and he shows up at fucking comedy shows with comedians who couldn't be colder and have less emotional mercy. And here he sits in the hot seat willing to answer questions. I say it's okay to bring it up.
So Dave,
if you're a sick bastard, we'll help you out.
What exactly are you hoping? What exactly are you hoping to get out of posting stuff like this, or is this just you sharing your emotions in a live Twitter situation?
Really, not looking for anything out of that. I mean, there are people that sit there. There are. I have had peripheral conversations where people say that the my use of social media is attention grabbing at its worst, where I will put something up on a certain platform, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or something else, and I will say something that's dark or something that's self-deprecating, and somehow it'll come back to me going, "Oh, you only put that up because you're looking for attention. You're only doing that, whatever. You know, at the time that I post that stuff or the time that I put that up, I'm not looking for someone to reach out to me and go, "Oh, I feel your pain. Let's talk." Or, "Oh, it's getting it out of me, because if it stays in, I get worse."
Okay.
So I've taken to journaling. I've taken to trying to shut my brain down a little bit, some meditation therapies and whatnot. But what I really don't appreciate, and it's no indictment on any one person, I don't appreciate the people that are like, "Oh, you can always talk to me. Hey, I'm always here," or whatever. And then I'll casually hit someone up like, "Hey, maybe, you know, would you like to get dinner? Would you like to hang out?" Whatever. And they're, every time it's always, "Oh, I got this. Oh, I got that." Oh, and I'm kind of going, "Well, then why did you say you would, you know, if things got
right,
whatever,
right,
why would
right.
you say that?" Now, look. You know, Eric, you live in Eldersburg. This is Carroll County, Carroll,
yeah,
Tucky. Okay,
it's a long drive for you.
Not
just to get here,
actually,
right?
It's not. It's about 50 minutes in good traffic.
Okay.
I kind of drove a little faster and blew through a speed trap. So thank you, Toyota Tercel, that got popped for my speeding.
Yes. Suck
yep,
it.
I know exactly how to blow a cop down.
All the cards are coming up, chauffeur.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. But the point that is, like, I live in Crownsville, which is outside of Annapolis. You live in Eldersburg here. Obviously, you've had some guests come through.
Yeah,
I know you do a tremendous amount of driving for your comedy exploits. Kim, I know you do a lot of traveling for your comedy exploits. And so you understand that when you're home, you're going to kind of want to be home. What I don't understand is the amount of people that live in and around the Baltimore area, some people that live in Glen Burnie and some people that live above Baltimore, when I have over the years invited people down to where I live, or at least come to meet halfway. I could say I live in Croatia. And, you know, the moment I say Crownsville, it's like, why don't I book you a flight to the airport? Because the amount of resistance, for some people to drive as little as 20 minutes to come get a, you know, "Hey, let's go hit this roadhouse and have a meal," or, "Hey, there's this great trail over here we can."
So you don't actually want them to listen to you. You want company.
It would be nice to have company from time to time. People that actually say, "Hey, I would love to come down," or whatever. But I've actually had people, or I've actually had friends or people that I know be in Crownsville, and I found out that they were in Crownsville or in Annapolis, and I've been like, "Hey, you know, I would have gladly..." Now, I understand. People have plans. I get that. But I also understand, like, it doesn't take much to sit there and just say hi or to respond to a
message.
But
they're offering emotional help, which is like, I could talk to you on Facebook Messenger while I work.
Understood.
And we could do that, and I could still be there for you in the way that's convenient for me because everyone has their life to live. But what you actually want is someone to sit down next to you for several hours.
No, 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 not maybe, several hours.
Well,
but,
whatever.
But,
don't
but I hear your point.
You want company. You don't want
from
help.
Time to time. Well, right. No, help I'm getting in other ways through therapy and whatnot. But I mean, from time to time, it would be nice to have company. It's not like I'm saying people should be coming down all the time. I shouldn't have a rotating rogues gallery of guests. It is just simply, for example, my birthday was earlier this month, and I started planning that 4 weeks out. And I said, hey, I'm going to have a small thing.
Which birthday?
My birthday.
What sir. Number?
The 19th of June.
No, what number?
Like? Oh, 43. And I, yes. It happens. I'm old. But I was planning
2 years.
I was planning this 4 weeks out, and I was thinking like what to do, how to have it, and I reached out to a couple people that live about 20 minutes away.
And you
maybe
wanna,
20 minutes.
You
want
to know what? You want to know what the fuck happened?
What happened?
He ordered a goddamn cheesecake for four people. So you know what?
No.
You fuckers that didn't show up, you
pieces of shit.
Can
I? No, I actually canceled it when I started when I asked three people that all lived about 20 minutes away, like, hey, what about this day? Which wasn't even the day of my birthday. It was actually farther down, so that way it wouldn't conflict with Father's Day. It wouldn't fall in the middle of the week. I was like, what about this day? We just do something normal. I'm clean and sober, so I can't do a bar. I don't want to do a restaurant. Let's do something fun. And you know, just a couple hours, and immediately before I even heard, well, let me check my calendar or let me see what's going on, it was immediate like, oh, that's too far. But I had been invited to their houses multiple times, and I just got frustrated with it. And around my birthday, if you look at my social media history, the weeks normally around my birthday, that week before, week after, if you look at my posts for the last many, many years, they're all real intense, real depressive, real dark, because I have not had a birthday amongst people I care about, amongst friends, for over 8 years.
Let me put this into comedy context.
Good.
That's the only way I can process things anymore. Mike Stork said to me, any decision you make on stage, any amount of energy or words that you use, does it help? So that's my question to you with your Twitter. Does it actually help?
Does it help you? Do you find help in it?
Thank you for reiterating.
There you go.
He had to mansplain himself.
I'm glad I simplified that. I used less words.
Thank you.
Mike Stork lesson that I learned. Right. Better than Kim did.
Yeah, clearly.
Hey, if Mike Stork's calling your phone, just let it go to voicemail. Just let it go to voicemail. You'll still get the same 2.5 hour diatribe. I would say
that's a no. That's a no.
I would say that for the most part, the really dark stuff or the really alarming stuff, the stuff that people don't know how to process or understand where it's coming from, I'd say that stuff most of the time it's kind of like a it's.
This is a yes or no question.
Jesus.
Does it help? Your pause says no. You don't have to say anything. Your pause. If it helps,
you
would go.
This is a hot seat. This is a hot seat.
Is your ass burning?
This is a hot seat.
Is your ass burning?
I mean, look. Prior to me realizing I had problems with drugs and alcohol, I would say yes. But now I realize it's more. It's definitely more of a no. There is some therapeutic value of getting it out of me, but on the whole, looking from the outside, looking in, you know, taking myself out of the equation, just being a perfect stranger looking at that stuff, yeah, then there is no help for that.
You should only do things that help you. That's bullshit. You're going to die one day.
Can I reach out to you? Are you a big fan of Taxi Driver?
I have several versions of the movie, but I don't have it on Blu-ray. No.
You remember that special moment where he reaches out to the wizard when he realizes he's like, I'm totally fucked up in the head, and the wizard gives him no fucking help whatsoever. He's like, why don't you go out and get laid? Why don't you just fucking have a good time? He's like, I'm fucked up in the head. I just got to kill the president. You know, I got to kill whoever's going to be the president. But at the same
good
time...
Good synopsis of a very long scene.
Exactly.
I feel like that every time I have my period. Every
you
time.
Kill, every woman's day. Every woman's
you
want to
kill the president every time you're on your cycle? That's
anybody.
Awesome.
Anybody, really.
Oh, anybody, yeah. All right. But yeah, I mean,
no,
there's
people that
easy.
Can't help you because they're dealing with their own shit.
Completely understand that.
But at the same time, I think the best advice I could give you is to just say, fuck them, you know. That's the one thing that holds you at your core is to fuck people. So
no, I mean, I completely understand that. It's just like something that has really been kind of gnawing at me is that I befriended some people and I was very upfront with them that hey, I'm in recovery. I'm not looking for anything. You guys seem really nice people. Friendship, sure, but whatever. And I had back and forth conversations, very polite, nothing implied, just regular conversations. And then out of nowhere, they just stopped talking to me. I don't know why. They just shut me out of their lives, whatever. And I'm just
can I shed light on one of those?
Go right ahead.
That girl ended up actually not having cancer. So that's the only.
We can talk about her, but that's a whole different issue.
By the way, and here's a little story. So there's an ex comedian named Amanda Tracy, and she tricked everybody in the local Baltimore scene to make them believe
she
that
convinced
she had
a lot of people of
cancer,
a lot of shit
that she had cancer, and there were show benefits, and there was
money raised in her name that went to her. There was money raised in her name that didn't.
I had this conversation with T. Brad Hudson, who threw probably the biggest show, and it was at the Wits End Bar, and we were just kind of sitting there, and I was just like, you know what? There's something about this girl, and I don't have any merit for this. I don't know where it's coming from, but I've just talked to her, and I have a feeling. I wouldn't be surprised if it ever came out that she didn't really have cancer. And then
I was like, six weeks later,
that's not true. I was like, I hope that's not true, and I hope your show is.
But isn't
great.
That a shitty position?
And at the same time, like T. Brad, who's like, yeah, I hope that's not true. I don't think somebody would do that. And 100%, that's exactly what happened.
But look,
I am basically a prophet, is what I'm getting at.
Let me bring up your tweets and also cross reference them with this story. So they're not helping you anymore, right? And let's cross reference them. This girl puts so much negativity in the world that we said, boy, I hope she has cancer. That's what you and T-Brad were agreeing as adult American men. Boy, wouldn't it be horrible if it turned out she's cancer-free?
Yeah. This bitch
better. What the fuck is that?
Did you know the last time I met her was at the tattoo convention when she got the fresh tattoo like over her tits?
No, the cancer.
Yes. Yeah, she committed to having cancer to the point of shaving her head, of knowing which medications to take, she alleged to have taken for chemotherapy.
I hope she dies of a really bad anal fissure.
Knowing which hospital she claimed that she got her chemo at, that you couldn't cross-reference because of their privacy rules. she went so far as to getting a cancer survivor tattoo.
This is the one thing I'm okay with, all right?
What's that?
Because... Okay, technically, she's not wrong. She is undefeated against cancer right
That's
now.
That's a fact.
Cancer never she even got winning. One she round on her yet.
Yeah.
But she is 100% cancer survivor.
Mr. Woodworth?
Mr. Woodworth? 1-0.
She did not get the cancer survivor's standard ribbon. She got the cancer survivor's abortion ribbon.
Because she aborts the whole idea of cancer.
Again. Not wrong. Not wrong. Because, listen, the bottom line is Floyd Mayweather is 43-0. But technically...
Soon to be 43-1.
He's 100-0 from all the fights that people were too scared. And cancer was too scared to go against Amanda Tracy. They saw that body and they were like, you think we could survive in that fucking crazy whirlwind shit?
Yeah, well.
There is no chance in hell. Dave, we're going to take a brief break, and then we're going to bring in a special guest that we wanted to bring on the show about a controversy that is ongoing right now on the Facebook, so you can check it out.
Drama.
Guys, stay tuned. When we get back, we have a very special guest.
We're not broadcasting live,
Dave
sir.
Schofer.
We now interrupt Quality Time for a brief commercial break.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
That's right. Catch Justin Schlegel, Tommy Simbazo, Rob and Joe, and of course, me and Kimberly Ambrose at the next Die Laughing Productions. We now take you back to quality time. Welcome back to Quality Time with Jeremy and Eric. Kim has stepped out for just a moment, mostly because our mic capabilities can't handle a fifth person on the show, which is what we're bringing in. So we're back here with Dave Schoffer, and Dave is in studio. We also have a guest on the line, which we'll introduce in just a moment. But Dave, lately you have had a bit of a rivalry with a local comedian. I say comedian. How about a local performance artist and Twitter/Facebook persona in Chris Restivo? Would you like to break down this recent heat that you've gotten with Mr. Chris Restivo?
I will let him take the first on that
one. Okay, well, we also have Chris on the line here. And
Chris, Dave
is on the line. Chris Restivo, Rob and Joe Show of Rob and Joe Show fame.
A stalwart of the Rob and Joe Show.
As well as a wonderful staple of Coco Lane comedy when it was still intact. Chris, what's the deal? Why are you so mad at Dave Schoffer?
Because Dave's an asshole. Bitter and salty because he's a poor little virgin, and me and the guys from Bottom Feeders podcast came up with an idea for a game that we were going
to
get.
Bottom Feeders is another podcast that you shouldn't listen to. Only listen to this one. But it's another local podcast with the very
still
funny
strong.
Chad Demera, which I actually love.
And Chris
Douglas. Douglas is back as well. Which I actually
Nick James is a part of that show.
Okay, great. And Dave actually used to produce this show. So go ahead, Chris.
So Dave thought he was going to get laid or whatever, have a date, and the girls backed out.
Wait a minute. What girls? What girls was this? Break this down for me.
We were going to get some strippers or whatever.
This is back when you were co-promoting and allegedly working with the Millstream.
I never worked there.
Should you search your Facebook history? You were cross-promoting a lot of Millstream events and claiming that you were some type of VIP there.
I never said it.
Okay, I must be mistaken. I apologize. We'll throw that up there on the apology one.
You dropped out a little bit.
What was the accusation you're throwing?
I'm out of the schedule to stop taking dick pics, I guess.
Oh, okay. Ah. We already talked about Amanda Tracy.
Well,
no,
No. I will answer the misguided accusation as you are trying to confuse two incidents into one, as the brain damage tend to do. The thing is, Chris, the incident with the dick pic that you, for some reason, like bringing up and keep stirring it, that's now 4 years gone. So, you know, perhaps we should leave that be. The Amanda Tracy stuff kind of worked it. The Amanda Tracy stuff kind of worked itself out. She's gone from the scene. A lot of people found out the truth. I was one of them. And that's pretty much it.
The point is, Dave hates me for no reason.
Oh, sure.
His venues, they get three people. Like, he's got to get the comedy. Like, he's the best promoter on the planet. Mm-hmm. He gets three people, and he bitches at me and a couple of the other comedians because it didn't have the turnout here.
What
expected?
Get on Twitter.
Oh.
Facebook.
Oh.
Anything else? And you know, I just respond to it and I pulled his card.
You pulled my card. Well, Chris, I'm going to go down the history here of what I recall, and considering I don't have a traumatic brain injury and I can actually drive myself, I don't have to ask my father for rides. I'm gonna go down the history with you in what I recollect. Starting from my first interaction with you at Fishhead Cantina, where I was producing a storyteller's show to a rather well-attended room, you came up and asked for time, And for whatever reasons, I explained to you that this was a pre-book show. It was a special event show. People had to tell stories in order to win money. After much nagging from you and someone dropping out, I gave you stage time. You told me you could tell a story, and you wound up doing 5 minutes of impressions to a room full of silence.
You mean the Restivo Gold?
That too.
Okay, we're gonna give him a second. Hold on, stop.
Yeah, your call dropped.
Yeah, I know the call dropped. I blame it on your side. So would you like to respond to the storyteller show that you were on, where Dave said you basically ate a dick?
People begged for him and begged him to put people on shows, and they try to avoid the shows because they're something.
Well, that is true. My shows do suck, as I have not produced a show in 2.5 years. And, okay, Chris. Yes, I do suck as a person. It must. Okay.
You're miserable.
Well, no, I'm miserable because of a brain chemical imbalance. Yes, I. Yes, I am a virgin, Chris. You have found me out. I have successfully navigated the years of being. And I've never seen you with someone that's age appropriate for you. You seem to, you know, peruse the obituaries and then find the youngest of kin.
Who are you doing?
Holy shit!
Out near elementary school.
I shouldn't be in the out near elementary school. Well, I mean, at least I can drive to one.
Because you look like a future pedophile.
I would say current pedophile, but that's just me. All right,
I take your compliment with a grain of asshole.
Moving
better
on.
Watch out. He has a goatee now, and he looks badass.
No, I do not.
So Dave hasn't run rooms in
2.5 years.
2.5 years, which is about the same time that Chris has not done comedy as well.
Alleged.
So Chris, well, do you think you guys are actually intrinsically linked in a way? Like, maybe because Dave quit doing comedy. Is that the reason you don't do comedy anymore? Is because Dave doesn't?
I think it's
because I want to make money. Money is a real job.
So day trading has been working out for you.
Hell yeah.
Well, yeah, he's a busy day trader. I understand that. I get that. You're making the scratch. Could you give us some stock tips?
What, like you actually like were making wooden nickels out of the park bench? Don't buy what?
What happened was a lot of people are buying the Bitcoin stuff.
Bitcoin. Bitcoin, the semi-illegal currency in the United States, is what your big...
Holy shit.
Wow. Can't wait for your brokerage firm to take off. Bitcoin, you got anything about McDonald's or Wendy's?
Exactly. All right. Exactly. Hey.
You can't... No, seriously, you can't hear me?
I can barely hear him. I put your fag in the back.
And there it is. There it is. It's you know, you love going to the racial epithets. You love going to the religious epithets. I don't understand where does hatred comes from. I mean, look, you asked for time on Fishhead. You weren't part of the show. I gave... Shut up, you.
Hatred.
The fuck you don't.
I have hatred for you.
You don't have hatred just for... But why do you hate Dave? So can I bring up something just to move the... Can I move something along? Something I heard recently, and it was a post that actually was generated by another gentleman, Mr. Justin Jones. I'll throw his name out there, a friend of the show. Decided...
Yeah, it's gotta
He's
suck
so
to be
fat.
Gotta suck to be Justin Jones, to have two levels of employment, a wife, a respectable performing career, a YouTube channel that isn't ridiculed.
Stop.
That's gotta suck there, Chris.
So people
talk.
No, calm down. I got it, Chris. I'm calming him down, all right? Listen, I'm on your side, all right? First and foremost. Listen, there was a post that emerged of you. It was a picture of you that had the word pride in like rainbow letters.
Very offensive.
To who? Who is that offensive to?
Offensive to me.
Oh. So you don't support equal rights for all people?
We have equal rights in the country.
You might want to brush up on your law there, Dershowitz. There is not a lot of equal rights protection.
Holes in the middle of the street.
Huh, what?
I said people can't be poll inspectors and go the street. Like, what rights don't? Like, we all have equal rights.
Yeah, and you're proud, and I understand you're.
How many people that don't have the right to be? That's her reason.
So, but why were you so offended that the word pride came up on with your name?
He's associating me with a homo. I'm like, I don't want to be associated with
him. But you're not gay, but you fucked Jeremy in the ass that one time.
I was so raw.
So
I was a virgin in the ass until you did me.
Chris, another thing, and the only reason we didn't have you on the show tonight is that you've been throwing out threats and accusations that you actually want to fight Dave Schofer. Is that if I have that correct? Why do you want to fight Dave though? Explain that to me if you could elaborate.
Right. Because he pisses me off till no end, and it's like he pisses me off.
What? You're about 110 pounds, 115 maybe? 125. Okay. And you do jujitsu, right? You're a blue belt or
did you?
Did you say jujitsu?
Oh, is that an anti-Semitic thing that you did? You're doing jujitsu, not the.
Blue belt. For 3 years, I trained Muay Thai also. I did some boxing, and I did Aikido, which I did not like at all.
I got it.
Do you know drunken boxing?
So I've trained in a bunch of different stuff.
I gotcha.
The school that I went to, they had all different programs.
Okay, cool, tight. Now, why do you want... I've seen a post just the other day where you said, I want to have a boxing match with Dave Schofer. I want to fuck him up. Why do you want to have a boxing match with him? And have you been training? Well, how many rounds do you think a boxing match would go with you and Dave?
Me and Dave,
this was an MMA match. So it's not boxing. We're going MMA. Yeah. You give him one round. I've seen Dave. First of all, Dave's tolerance for pain from his years of doing painkillers, which we got into earlier in the show, is very high. So I don't think you'd be able to make him tap. You'd have to get a ref stoppage, if anything.
He's a junkie.
Gosh.
Well, because you're clean and sober.
Look, can I go
doesn't
out?
Hurt me. I know what I am. You're in complete denial of being the asshole that you are.
Can I go out on a limb that, you know, quality time, we're trying to build up the name. And that if
Do you...
Do you
want me to start reading out the Facebook messages that you sent me?
I don't give two shits.
Okay, Dave, some Facebook messages.
You are just a fucking, you know, you're You're a brain damaged contradiction. If
now I'm definitely smacking the face.
Well, let's get you. I will. You know what? I will pay for your Uber. I will pay for your Uber to come to wherever you'd like to do this. I will also bring a step stool so you can get to reach me.
Well, I'd have to bring a box of tissues for you.
Okay. A box of tissues? I know I'm going to regret asking this, but why would I need a box of tissues on Christopher?
Oh, got him. Hot.
He's got a tampon surgery
with
vagina. Ah. Those lines are always fine about this.
Because you have never... So you've never whined or cried.
What did he say?
He said you've never whined or cried.
So you've never whined or cried on Facebook. You've never whined or cried on social media. You've never berated somebody or inappropriately went after somebody on Facebook or Twitter and tried to get your way or try to make things work out for you.
No, I just...
Really? Really? So that 5 minutes of terrifying silence at the Baltimore Comedy Factory during their Thanksgiving show, that was an earned spot?
All right, Dave, give Chris a chance to respond to that question. Dave, go ahead, Chris.
I can barely hear what he's saying.
No, I just want you to respond. He said something along the lines of, so you've never bitched and complained on Facebook. Okay.
Whine.
Oh, but he doesn't whine though.
Every night, I don't cry into my pillow every night like he does.
Do you think so? Dave cries into his pillow every night. Okay. So, and that makes you want to fight him though?
No, it's just I just don't like him. And he's an asshole, and he seems to stop talking shit on Facebook about me. Like he does it constantly. Like he's upset.
I don't know if it's constant. I think that's a bit of a...
Chris, of the million things that I do during the day, that I think about during the day, you don't even show up in my thoughts after I've had a good bowel movement. Is that cough syrup kicking in there, bud?
So, he said, is that cough syrup kicking in for you?
Yeah, the cough syrup.
Restivo would never drink cough syrup. He smokes horrendous amounts of weed.
So, is there? Chris,
explain
Chris.
Again why you can't have a license in the state of Maryland.
What?
He said, explain why you can't have a license in the state of Maryland.
I drive.
He said he drives.
What? Really? Because you were Coco Lane famous for never driving to Coco Lane, always having a parent drop you off. And
drop me off because I was drinking. I'm not going to drink and drive, you asshole.
God, I wish you would.
Why the hell would I drink
again? But maybe you'd get locked up in a southern county and they would ass rape you.
Mrs. Schoeffer is, well, she's not a saint. We actually talked about
her
earlier.
She has four PhDs.
So I'm going to read this here. I'm going to read this. This is from, what day is this? Okay.
All right, Dave wants to read some kind of message, I guess you
sent
him.
So this is January 7th. January 7th.
No.
God, it must be fun to have that undiagnosed alcoholism in the Restivo family. So January 7th, you messaged me, go kill yourself, cocksmoker. followed up by, you're a fucking loser, Dave. Keyboard tough guy, that's all you. And then, let's see here. And then I said, I corrected you on your English because obviously I guess you failed something called learning. It was your, with an R-E, not your with just the R, and I said, please explain how I'm a keyboard tough guy. You said, your reply was, because you talk so much shit when you're behind your keyboard, but you don't say shit to my face. My reply, one, I hardly if ever see you. Two, I don't care for you, so I will say what I wish to say in any forum. And three, saying it to your face will do exactly what? Your reply, I don't give a fuck if you don't like me. And you have no reason to be a little bitch and talk shit so much. I told you stop bitching and you flipped out like a asshole, but when Finazzo, Fuller, Joe Robinson, or anyone else does it, you laugh. You're a fucking hypocrite. Not to correct you, when those comedians, and comedians by I mean they actually get paid to perform comedy, whereas you get paid to shut the fuck up, they actually do something called comedy. It's roasting. Yeah. Where are you performing comedy for the last 2.5 years?
Yeah, I'm listening, Chris. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Chris, please.
He lets everyone else make fun of him. If I say one word, he gets my butt hurt about it. So, you know, that was the point of that message. Because he doesn't understand.
So if I get this right, that you feel that you are treated unfairly in Dave's eyes, because when other comics kind of shit on Dave, if it's somebody he has a relationship with, which is, you know, the Sonny Fullers or the Mike Finazzos of the world, great local comics here, but if you do it, all of a sudden you feel Dave takes it personally, and then it's an attack, and then he tries to shit on you. Now, I
think he would realize that the shit he does, or, you know, I don't think he would realize that the thing he does.
Like what things don't you think he realizes?
Because, like, I said, his other people have references.
Well, I get that. I mean, if you have, like, if my wife, you get it. Like if my wife says something compared to somebody else, I'm going to give my wife preferential treatment. I mean, that's just the nature of human beings. But what is this? This is the major divide, is that you don't have Dave Schoffer's approval. Is that why you dislike him so much?
No, it's just, you know, I'm treated like shit. I'm very nice to people.
Bullshit, you are.
Unless you're mean to me.
Oh, fucking Christ. I got nothing left to say to you. You're very nice to people. Unless you had a fucking personality change, you were one of the worst people of all time.
Nah, you're the person
with a dead mom. Oh, my God.
I don't think anybody that runs a comedy room can't make a hard decision between Sonny Fuller and Chris Restivo.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question that's a hard decision.
So,
all right, let me read this here, Chris, because you claim you're a nice guy, and I'm about to prove that might not be the truth. You might be impeached, just like a. You're not nice, fucking. Period. Let's just go on the record here. Let
Chris,
me correct
I like you. Okay, all right. I'll like you, Chris.
All right, here we go. I'm gonna correct you on a few things. This is what I wrote to you, and you can pull up your Facebook on your Casio 600. We can read together at this point. All right. Number one, you were never nice to. Okay, there you go. Talking over me. I am a fucking idiot. Yes, that's right. You have done absolutely nothing with your life other than to paint your
Viking
wall.
Dave, come on. Just let me hear. I want to hear the facts.
Well, I'll just read number. Okay, number two. At subsequent open comedy mics I ran, you were always disruptive, rude, arrogant, unwanted, even aggressive with patrons, other comics, and women. Several comics would actually cancel performing at open mics I ran when your name was listed on the lineup. Two incidents in particular stand out in my mind. Your only performance at McGiddy's Pub, where the room was packed and every comic had a hot set except you. You cooled out the room, and then you left nearly immediately and ran to Facebook to cry and complain how the room sucked, the audience sucked, the other comics sucked. That was farthest from the truth. The second was when you performed at Myth and Moonshine, and again, you had a poor performance accelerated by you claiming someone insulted you as you were performing. You and your father, shut the fuck up.
Dave, no, let no cross-talking. Chris, I'm going to give you a chance to respond. Just let Dave finish.
The second was when you performed at Myth and Moonshine, and again, you had a poor performance accelerated by your claim that someone had insulted you as you were performing, and you and your father left immediately. Again, you ran to Facebook to disparage the room. So your reply to my accusation that was, I was never disruptive. I never heckled anyone or anything of the sort. I am not arrogant, that's for damn sure. I was never aggressive with anyone. You were pissed I hung out with Amanda Tracy a lot, and you were trying to fuck her. That's what it comes down to. And you were scared of a lot of women off with your dick pic bullshit, but I won't go into the text messages you would send people. Now, Chris, I know that you and I will probably never be friends, and thank God for that. I truly don't understand where this is coming from.
In
manages to have a one LTE phone.
What would be a resolution to this rivalry? Is it just we don't talk to each other? Do you guys think you could ever be friends again? Because I've seen the photo. There's a photo that exists. And listen to me. No, Chris, shut up. Chris, shut up. I've seen the beautiful photo with you and Dave Schoffer. That is, it's magical. And that one moment. I've seen Dave smile six times in my entire life, and one of them was in a picture with you.
That wasn't a smile. That was an embryonic.
Stop.
That was an embryonic convulsion.
Dave, don't burn all the bridges. Is there anything that you think could fix your relationship
don't
with Dave Schoffer?
Don't burn the bridge with Chris Restivo.
So you guys, there's nothing that you... Is there any concession you think that Dave could make to you or you could make to Dave that you think could repair this this relationship?
What if Dave gave you Rice Krispie Squares?
Chris, I don't talk to you. Chris, I don't talk to you. I don't engage with you. I have nothing to say to you. But if you keep... Yeah. Okay.
Dave, is there
You know
anything?
What? I'm gonna really pull back a curtain. There's a really good friend of mine that you have been constantly Facebook messaging for the last year, trying to get a date with. Now, I'm not going to say the person's name, but that shit stops today. Or we will have an actual physical altercation, okay?
He said that there's somebody that you're Facebook messaging to get a date from that is a friend of Dave's, and he says that shit stops today, is what Dave said. I don't know. He wouldn't drop a name, but he just said that. He said that stops today. Chris says he doesn't know what he's talking. What this is about, Dave?
Oh, I can pull up the messages.
Okay, well,
They were forwarded to me. Trust me, Chris. It doesn't paint you. I'm still good. You can't hear me.
You've been hitting on Dave Schofer's cat. That's what you've been doing, Chris.
someone that I've known for a long
Samantha
time.
Samantha Kelly.
Can I throw this out there? If could you, I'm just going to throw this out to both teams and then answer on three. Can you guys stop being jerks to each other on three? One, two, three. Oh, silence. Silence on both sides. You guys can't stop. You guys can't stop. You guys can't stop.
I got nothing to say to him. He's the one that messages me first. He's the one that goes after me first. He's the one that will sit there and throw out things. What?
Hey, hold on. You posted something negative about.
Oh, you're talking about the pride picture that I believe young Eric Woodworth created?
Dave.
Well, I have a mind.
I'll throw it out there. Dave, will you be the bigger man and throw out an apology to Chris Restivo?
Sure, why not? Chris, I truly apologize that you're a talentless douchebag.
Okay, I apologize too, Dave.
He apologized back. Oh my gosh.
Hands guys, we made across America.
Guys, that was a beautiful moment that we had there.
I am openly weeping now. I am openly weeping and I'm starting to masturbate.
Dave has put off his headphones. He's very happy. Honestly, you've legitimately brightened his day right there, Chris. I want you to know that you've done a lot for the show this evening, man.
I'm masturbating thinking about two men having sex right now. He says,
hey,
oh God.
Hey Chris, we're gonna
but not
out,
in a good
but,
way
Chris, we're gonna cut out of here, but thanks for coming on. We'll definitely be calling in again to get some Chris Restivo updates in the future. So I don't think Chris definitely heard the shitty apology you gave, and it's so funny that he apologized right after, and that's all it took. Oh my God,
that was much more intellectual than I expected.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Wow.
What the hell happened to all the levels?
I know. I plugged back in Kim. That's why.
Wow.
Kim is real hot now.
Always hot.
Kim, go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay. Let's take another quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll close out the show here with
a request. Can we call it a cunt
commercial
break?
A cunt commercial break. Can we please okay. Here with this cunt commercial break.
Nickelodeon. We now interrupt quality time for a brief commercial break.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
That's right. Catch Justin Schlegel, Tommy Simbazo, Robin Joe, and of course, me and Kimberly Ambrose at the next Die Laughing Productions. We now take you back to quality time.
Welcome back to Quality Time, everybody. We're here again from 93.5 The Beach, still Ocean City's number one hit music station. Man, we've had a heavy episode. It's been a heavy episode. I don't know if we're going to put this at the beginning or the end, but maybe it could be either. Should we put this at the beginning, at the end?
I think you should wrap it up with a positive.
A positive?
Yeah. Wrap drama it up with makes a positive? The podcast.
Listen, you're either listening to the beginning of this podcast again or the end of it. You know, either way.
What the positive is like.
What's that?
It's like wearing a condom, because it's like, oh, that sucks, but nobody's getting pregnant here.
Guess what? No pregnant bitches.
What's a condom?
This is the best episode of Cyborgs 3 ever. So,
yeah, we had a good talk with Chris Restivo and Dave today. But more importantly, we've been doing some things in the Quality Time group that we just haven't had a chance to share.
Thanks.
Yeah, big time. And earlier this week, I sent Kimberly a text message and Jeremy. And
you have Kimberly's cell phone number?
Oh, I got them digits for sure.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
I got them digits for sure. The text message reads as such. Now, I'll give you guys the gist. I was driving to work and felt like a regular day. I got to be honest with you. Nothing crazy going on.
Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah, it was Tuesday. It was a Tuesday. I'm driving into work.
How was your poo?
I decided to take a what I felt was going to be a regular human adult fart. An adult fart.
What I felt was going to be.
Driving by myself. The second I ripped this thing, all hell broke loose. Every part.
Chip bag and all the chips come.
Yeah. It was the, what happened was the equivalent of opening a bag of flour all the way to the floor.
You need Damien's theme during this.
I immediately felt the wet goo slip from between my cheeks, and I'm on Route 70 headed towards Frederick going about 75 miles per hour, and realize that I have shit my pants, and I am midway on my 40-minute commute to work, and there is
so
nothing.
So you're 20 minutes out, 20 minutes back.
Yeah.
So you're in no man's land.
I'm in no man's land right now.
Now, do you have a pair of backup pants with you?
There are no backup pants in my anywhere. I go.
Oh, he knows comedy.
Is there a Target on your way to work?
I'm going to lay it out for you. First thing I need to do is I assess the damage and realize that it's a problem. It's a problem right now. But I assessed by moving my cheeks and gliding them, and the level of non-friction. There was no friction. It was like an air hockey table in between my butt cheeks, right? Like so much grease and slidiness. So I'm like, okay, it's a total situation down there. So I go to the first thing. I was like, well, we need to clean up the mess first, okay? I go to a
Heise. Did the pants contain said mess, or did it go beyond the pants?
I immediately got out of the truck I'm driving, which is a work truck, and
quality pleather interior.
What I tried to do as damage control was to take the underwear and shove them towards center. I was just like, okay, go for center. By the way, I'm wearing khaki shorts, very similar to the ones I'm wearing right now. Ooh. They might actually be these ones.
Oh, no!
Spoiler alert! Anyway, I really like these shorts. So, I get out of the truck.
This way. You like those shorts more than I like some people, because if I accidentally shit on a friend of mine, we would no longer be friends.
Oh, well.
What if you shat in your clothes? Would you salvage said clothing?
I know about feng shui, and feng shui says, let go of all that which is wasteful in thine life. And if I shit my pants, those pants are going in the garbage.
Listen, so the only thing I can tell you about this. The only thing I'm telling you about this, I've had friends that have let me down that I've also shit on, and these pants never done that to me. Never have let me down. They've been there through thick and thin, and I mean that because they're elastic, so I can get thick and thin, and they are always working for me. So I pull over, I get out into the Heise parking lot, and I'm very nervous, of course, because I'm wearing khaki pants. I immediately look, and then I look at the seat, and it has gone all the way into seat and left. It has left basically the eye of Thundera. on the couch on the
so
cushion.
So the storm has now gone to the crevices.
Yes. So I know it's already bad. It's so I immediately do quick walk. I try not to do the penguin walk because I was just like they're gonna know you shit your pants if you walk like this. Yeah. So I was just like take confident gooey glidey steps and get to that bathroom. Right. I get into the bathroom. And I immediately detrow everything. I'm like, all right, start over from, and let's see what's salvageable. The underwear completely gone. They are immediately in the trash can. I looked at them for one sec. I was like, there's no way to reconcile this. No. We need
so
to
that
start.
So that was a red shirted Star Trek number. That's gone.
Yes, number one is gone. That is a Saw movie in there. That there's nothing that can be salvaged from that. Okay. I then look at the shorts and god damn it, there is it
dong
looked,
dong. Sorry.
The shorts are...
It had to be done.
They're ruined. The shorts are ruined. But I don't have any other pants, so I can't like clearly walk out of bottomless, out of highs, because I've done that before. They get pissed. Right? So I slide them back on. I clean myself up. I slide them back on. I even tried to get a little water on the ass cheek thing. I was just like, you know what? This maybe will dry before I get to work. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? So... I drove to work and then
in the puddle
that I left there.
Ooh.
And I realized that I was just like, listen, you can't go into the office with this khaki stain on there. So I turned to a Walmart that was a 15-minute detour. So I was only an extra 15 minutes late instead of traversing the 20 minutes there, 20 minutes back home. Yes. To get new pants. And I bought a $10 pair of slacks.
Nice.
And threw those on.
Now, this was wrapped around a text that you were sending to Kim. I'm curious, what was the text you sent to Kim?
This is exactly what I sent to Kim.
I just shit my pants.
It said, thinking about you, just shit myself again. Hope all's good.
Well, and they say the language of romance is dick.
Exactly. I'm trying to
and
find...
And the 10 pictures that followed, so...
Let's find the Kim...
She prefers Jeremy. Them to be on Snapchat so they can have the cute little cat filters.
After the third picture, she vomits.
Well.
And then in the fourth picture, she masturbates. She's a confused woman.
It's the reason why you picked up her contract to join Quality
and
Time.
And then she Adobe Photoshops it into the most beautiful picture.
I can't find our group text. I'm sorry. I can't find it.
Wednesday, June 28th, 2017, 10:40 a.m.
Dun, dun, dun.
A.m. is the most important part of that. Driving to work this morning. Gambled on a fart. Lost. Undies gone and in a high...
She can't read it. Come on, Captain.
Undies gone and in a high bathroom trash can. Had to stop at Walmart to buy new khaki shorts as the blast went through them into car seat. This is 33 years old.
Yeah.
Just wanted to remember for podcast Sunday.
33?
Yeah.
Are you 33 now?
And then I said, I'd say laughing my ass off, but you've done that enough for both of us. Jeremy said, the embarrassment of just getting to a bathroom is horrible, especially the wetter it is. Coffee? The pleasures of coffee? He said, we'll break down on the show.
I did that at Tyson's Mall after two hours to get down there. And then, after shitting my pants, I took at least 2 to 3 hours to find a place where I could actually change my pants. Because I was so embarrassed.
Well, this was a high point in the conversation because he goes... We'll break down on show. Jeremy goes, you mean we'll have a rundown?
Oh, got him.
Poo-poo runs down your leg.
Why is this man not headlining High Tops? Oh, it's because the room closed.
I love poo-poo jokes.
So, me and Kim yesterday went down to Winchester, VA with Die Laughing Productions. By the way, check out dielaughingproductions.com for all of our upcoming Die Laughing Productions things.
Die Laughing Productions on Instagram.
Yeah, and check out the Instagram. That's where all the cool behind-the-scenes stuff happens. That's where you see the green room. That's where you see the weird orgy sex parties that are not on stage.
Look for the new character, Unpennywise.
Oh, yes. We'll bring up what Jeremy being added to the show as well.
The worst decision ever.
We always have really great shows at the Brightbox Theater, and one of the things the break box has is down in their green room is a huge, like, pillow, like the biggest pillow you've ever seen. It's about the size of
two couch cushions put together.
Yeah, I'd say it's about like 6 foot tall by about like 4 or 5 foot wide. It's a huge, giant pillow. You can just jump into it as an adult male and be completely like enveloped in, right? It's fucking awesome. So the cast members, Justin, Tommy, Kimberly, actually Kimberly didn't get to see this because she was right around the corner. But 80% of the cast was just around this pillow. And I thought, you know what? It's going to be a hoot if Eric goes over and jumps on this fucking big-ass pillow right in front of everybody, right? So I take about 2 or 3 steps, and I completely sell this. Like, I go full wrestle bump and throw both my legs out from under me so I can lay right on my back like this. Problem is, I kicked the pillow when I did this. I kicked the pillow so that I completely moved it out of the way and then landed both feet in the air, back first onto tile concrete floor, and the cast legitimately thought I died for a second there.
It was like in a room of comedians.
Describe what the sound sounded like, Kimberly, because in my head, it sounded like brain trauma.
Okay, let's say you have a squared or rectangle-shaped tote container. This is a hard plastic container. You can put a hard plastic shell top on top of it, snap it shut. Right? That's what we're talking about here. Fill it with water. Now climb a ladder 5 feet up and drop it onto hard tiles. That's what we heard. It was just bam! I mean, it was like all of his meat and bones in one man package, smacked maybe like a 6-inch by 6-inch square area of hard, hard tile floor. Because what's funny about... Okay, let's really picture this here. Giant pillow. He's going to do like an elbow drop onto it, but instead he does like a... You know when you're in soccer and you want to throw the ball up in the air to kick it yourself, kind of hacky sack it, but the first thing you do, you have to shovel kick it kind of up under with your foot? That's what he did to this pillow that he himself was trying to land on. So he kind of shovels it up with his foot, completely removing it from where he intended to land, and just left this nice, clean, open space of hard tile under him. And boy, if he didn't find it hard.
Yeah, and I smacked, like, fucking real hard on the floor.
We were legitimately concerned.
But because I was intending to fall on my back and do a legit wrestle bump.
Yeah.
Because if you guys don't know, I have an illustrious backyard wrestling background.
You are a 7-time world backyard wrestling champion.
Yeah, DEW champion. That's a Dangerously Extreme Wrestling.
Whoa.
That we ran in the backyard of Dan Murphy's house back in high school. Did some real crazy shit. Shit that one of us should be maimed forever. Like,
and some stuff illegal in certain states.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely illegal things that, you know what? We just called good old-fashioned fun. Okay?
We just called good old-fashioned sodomy.
And because we saw Mick Foley jump off of a roof when we were in middle school, we were like, we could do that, too. We could do that, too.
I can do that, yeah. Any fucking day of the week.
So I went and I took this bump, and honestly, I was 100% okay. I swear you were okay.
So when you fell flat, you spread out like you're supposed to.
Yeah, I put my arms out. I had my chin tucked because I was expecting to hit the pillow, and the pillow just wasn't there. And Justin legitimately thought I was injured. Like, they were trying to give me... They were giving a shitty concussion protocol.
Oh, they were doing the fake, like follow the finger. Oh,
how
okay.
many fingers like this? I'm like, dude, I swear to God, I'm fine. What year is it? I was like, yeah, I know Kennedy's the president. I get it. Like... I know where we are.
Duh, you guys.
Eric, it's Truman.
Oh, it's Truman. It's Truman. I knew I was at the Truman Show this whole time.
Dewey won!
I was just watching the news on Netflix yesterday. I don't know why they call it 11-22-63, but I was watching it. I saw.
Miss Ambrose for the win!
But one of the, I guess one of the things Justin said to me, he was just like, dude, you're really not fucked up after that? I was like, no, I swear to God, I'm actually 100% okay. He was like, God, I never want to fight you ever. I never, ever, ever want to have an altercation with you. Because if that didn't damage you, there's nothing in this world that I could hurt you with.
Well, you knew how to land it correctly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know I played rugby for 16 years. There's people that can fuck me up. I'm not a badass.
There are two things in this world you take in really well.
It's falls and cocaine, and they're both considered blows.
I am very good at the second one. Very good.
Next time you're talking wrestling with the old Justin, have him regale you about his incident down in Southern Maryland when he was inadvertently body slammed and how well he took that.
Oh, okay. I'm definitely going to bring that up.
When he was doing the afternoon and evening 98 Rock work, he was doing some wrestling and apparently didn't really tuck his chin the way he was supposed to.
Yeah.
And yeah, let's just say the following day he didn't make it to the station.
I got dropped on my neck in judo one time and it made me cry.
Have you seen the video of Justin getting punched by Booker T?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good too. Yeah. He was like, that didn't feel fake. He was like, that felt very real. That felt very real when I hit the ground.
Wait, you got dropped on your neck in a judo class?
Yeah.
You misplaced your feet or the guy just...
The person's... They went to leg swipe me, but at the same time they did that, they kind of almost like pushed me backwards and at the same time kind of picked me up almost. It was way over aggressive.
So it was just an awkward positioning.
It was just they were being really aggressive. It wasn't necessary. Like, you're going for a foot sweep, so you don't really need to pick someone up. If you're going to push me back, that makes sense with the momentum.
Understood.
But the picking me up, it fucked me up because I didn't know what direction I was going, and I felt like I was going up and back. So I just tried to tuck my head, but they pushed me really hard, and I fell right on my neck.
That's whenever I teach judo,
you're a rather tall woman. That's an impact that's going to hurt.
At best.
I always do it to a soundtrack of One Direction, so everybody knows we're on the same page.
Yeah, we're all friends here. We're all friends.
Well,
here,
I mean,
guys.
There's some video clips. A good friend of ours, someone that you know, John Goodwin, his infamous rugby hit is on YouTube.
Oh God, yes.
It is the most scariest thing you will ever see in terms of a rugby hit. It you literally look at John going, how did you not die that day?
He got taken out by a 300 pound man.
Jesus.
A former leveled. I think Alabama State lineman.
Yeah, football player or something like that.
I mean, this guy was like 330, 340, and just John, it was like a buck 50 at the time, and maybe a buck 40, and just cleaned him so hard that when he impacted on the ground, he bounced up and then fell down again.
Yeah.
It was bad.
There's video that exists of me from my rugby game back when I was fit and cared about my body.
Sir, you are very fit and you care about your body.
We were knocking on the door for scoring against the University of Maryland, which was a big deal. And I went to Salisbury, which is a Division III school, but we played Division II rugby.
What?
And they were a Division I club.
Fuck
so
yeah.
we were
so
like,
you were just
we're
bringing the
up.
Thunder.
So we were playing real tough against them, and it was a hard game, right? And it was tight. I think they edged us out by about a try in that game, which is like one score they beat us by. But we were knocking on the door to score about midway through the game, and I took a real high ball and tried to run it in, and one of the biggest dudes on their team, they had these two guys that
Samoans?
Were basically no they really, they were not Samoans. One was a huge white dude, one was a huge black dude, and they were both about 6'4" and had legs the size of tree trunks, and these guys were low to the ground as a fucking coffee table. I'm running high as fast as I fucking can.
Did you even see
this
them?
this guy fucking grabs me by the legs, picks me up like
Basically,
5 foot in the air, and then takes my body and then bounces me like a basketball.
Jesus.
And I shit you not, I hit the ground and then bounced up a good like 2-3 foot.
So he did a modified spin jack super slam,
pretty much. And
wow,
just
you
slammed
survived
me
that.
On my hip, and I remember the bruise that this caused. It gave me a bruise on like the side of my like thigh here that bled down into my calf, so
Jesus.
My calf turned purple that day.
Oh my
and
God.
That was I never ran high ever again after that day. I always ran with my shoulders low in contact situations.
Fuck yeah.
So he taught me a very valuable lesson.
Yes.
About
which is never get in between two large men.
And also
no, don't run. I thought I was the big man, and I realized there's people that are bigger and badder than you, and that
now,
you should always practice the right form.
There's a flip side to that coin. Years ago, when I was roadieing for a band that we were in Ocean City.
Smash Mouth.
Yeah, them too. But I was a roadie for a local band, and we were down at Secrets, and the whole band was big fans of professional wrestling, and the other roadie guy goes by the name of P. He's very, very tall guy, but very thin. He was also a fan of wrestling, but didn't tell anybody. And so they're all fucking around on the couch and doing whatever they do. And the singer comes out and is like, "I challenge anyone to try and choke me out." And P, at 6'4" and maybe 100 pounds, was like, "I'll do this." And they start wrestling. They start throwing each other around. Whatever. Gets him into this like knee deathlock thing, and he's not tapping, and he's not tapping, and he's not tapping. Finally, I'm like,
"He's dead.
That's the singer, man. We got to work this week. Let's make sure he don't crush his throat."
Right, right.
So he relieves the pressure, and the guy's just like, "Oh, I could have taken any of that hit, man. I wasn't passing out." Meanwhile, he was. So P just picks him up and choke slams him through a solid oak table. Nice. I have that sound is still in my head of the human body hitting this table and it exploding. The next day he wakes up. We take him to the we take him to the local medical thing down in Ocean City just to make sure, like, if back isn't broke or whatever. And we're like, "All we care about is, can he stand and can he sing? Because that's all he has to do in about 10 hours.
Right,
and
right,
they're like,
right, right.
"With these pills, he will. He does nothing else." So, yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
Later, that singer became the lead singer for Stone Temple Pilots.
Molly Hatchet.
And that's the rest of the story.
Well, that's what it was, but I figured I'd just throw it in there.
That's
since
it.
Kim
right.
regaled about her near death neck injury.
Do we have time for the metal test?
There's a metal test?
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, okay, yeah, the Dave Schofer metal
yes,
test.
Yes.
The
yes,
Dave
yes.
Schofer
metal test.
What's Dave Schofer, I will say chauffeur, metals. Out of respect, because I'm not a total asshole.
Guest on the show today, Dave Schofer, everybody. Dave Schofer
loves,
for chiming in.
Loves the band Metallica.
I have been known to listen to an album or two.
And, of course, a true metal fan.
He's going to need headphones.
Loves metal.
Possibly need headphones. You never know. I could be good enough not to need them.
But if you love Metallica, if you love Metallica, mm-hmm. you need the metal test.
Oh, dear God. Okay, so Jeremy came up with this idea to test Dave's metal knowledge. And we're going to see how metal Dave really is. Dave, here's your first song to see if you can get. All right, here, part of the metal
test. And you can give your 2 cents after every song.
No, I don't want to do that. This is a Metallica song?
No.
Oh. Not ringing any bells.
If you guess the band, you are metal.
You're going to have to give me at least the first letter.
I'll give you a hint. They're of German descent.
Oh, great.
This ain't Scorpions. That's the only band I know. Is that
the Scorpions? Yes.
Okay. That would be Coroner. Coroner, and the song
nope.
is Grin. Okay.
Nope.
All right, here's another.
I am now 0-1, if someone could keep that
right.
in the record.
So this is
that was a hard one.
Next, please.
Okay, here's your next challenge. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know the name of the song. I don't know who the artist may be, because it depends on which version.
Very
this is.
Popular group.
Well, the name of the song is I'm 18.
That is correct.
Yes.
And the metal band.
I'll give you a hint.
That is not Alice Cooper.
No.
No.
I I almost want to... It almost sounds like I'm a cross between... Vintage and new Iron Maiden.
Very old.
You got the era right.
I'll give you a hint. Two of the members of the band are very Jewish.
This Anthrax?
Bing!
He got it!
Yes!
Anthrax!
Yes!
This is Anthrax?
Yeah. Before Joey Belladonna, yes. Their first album.
The first Anthrax album right there.
The first Anthrax was Out of Madness?
Something like that, yes.
This doesn't even... That even sound like Anthrax.
It's so bad. It's so horrible.
And I believe Dave will get this one.
And
I
the
really
only,
do.
The only original member of Anthrax still currently with the band?
Scott Ian?
Scott Ian and Joey Belladonna?
Joey Belladonna was not...
Really?
...the original singer.
And
the
Charlie,
drummer.
Charlie Benanti was not
Charlie
the original.
Charlie was not original?
Nope. And Scott Ian's real name? Scott Ian Rosenfeld.
Scott Jewey Jewison.
And he is married to...
Jesus, Jeremy.
He is married to...
I love Jews!
He is married to Meatloaf's daughter. They have a child together.
Wow.
Pearl Adet, who is an amazing rock and roll singer.
How you don't call that child Meatball is out of my mind.
Do you know which band Dan Lokler is playing with now?
Dan Lokler? Well, considering like he's in 11,000 different bands.
Other than Brutal Truth.
Well, he's also a founding member of Nuclear Assault. He tours
of
with them
course.
When, from time to time. He was a founding member of Megadeth until he got pissed off at Dave. SOD, MOD, DOC, DCC. Fuck, where is he playing
Snoop
now?
Snoop D-O-double-G's in a group that said, "Fuck the police." Yeah, I got it.
Son of a bitch, otherwise known as SOB.
Wow.
Yes, and they play SOD covers, yes.
Wow, there's a cover band of a cover band.
Of S.O.D.
Okay, this show has already run super long. We're going to go to the next song.
Okay.
Next song. Song number three.
One out of five.
You've got one out of five so far, Dave.
One out of five.
Number three.
Number two. Number three.
He's got it already. I
can see it. I know this bass line, but I'm trying to... Is this Anvil? Oh, is it old Megadeth?
Yeah, there you go. You got it. Megadeth.
Oh, he's on
it. I've never heard that intro, though.
It sounds like another song.
It sounds like Four Horsemen, which is what, yeah. Is this off an album of Megadeth, or is this a Megadeth reissue? Because I've never heard that issue for this Megadeth song.
It's from Killing Is My Business.
Wow, the first album. Yeah. This is back when Gar was on drums.
But back in the Swatch!
Well, that's because Dave Mustaine wrote the Four Horsemen song, and then he changed.
That was a tricky one. That's the Mechanics.
Yeah. I've never heard that intro for Mechanics, but that's back. Fun note, Gar Samuelson, who was a jazz drummer, did the first two Megadeth albums and then died of a heroin overdose.
Oh,
nice.
Very nice. All right. So right now you are two for five.
Well,
with two remaining. I know
you are somewhat metal so far.
I'm not going to say that this one matters the most, but I know that the last one there's zero chance you're going to get.
Zero chance.
I mean that because
zero.
It's Jeremy. It's a Jeremy trick one.
It's
so this
the
is the
impossible
last one
question.
This is the last one you'll possibly get.
Is it Journey with Neil Sean?
You will. Okay. Oh, that's easy. That's easy compared to this.
Show's Sorry. Over, guys. Show's over. Dave is metal. Dave is metal as fuck. Dave is metal as fuck.
Go ahead.
All right. This is.
I'll tell you off air. There's a really bad story about that.
Easy.
Yeah, it's a System of a Down. But the name of the song is. I can't remember the name of the song, but this was a hit for them.
They just said the name.
Chromatic Death.
Wait a minute. I said System of a Down.
Well, you had
Stormtroopers of Death.
There you go.
Sorry,
the offshoot of Anthrax.
Well, that was a Stormtroopers of the Death was members of Anthrax, DRI, and MOD. The original lineup.
Billy Milano and Dan Lokler.
So. Billy Milano, Dan Lokler, Charlie Benanti, and Scott Ian. And fun fact about the album, they recorded that as a series of one-off songs because there was extra studio time with all three of them. Jerry Z, who was managing all those bands at the time, Jerry Z had overbooked the studio and he couldn't get his money back. So he said, "Hey, guys, if you want to do something." So those four went into Studio B in New York at the Record Room, came up with this stuff as a joke. The recording engineer mixed it. Thought it was a real album, pressed it, sent it back to them, and they were like, "Oh God, this is actually good." Anthrax took some time off and SOD toured, and people were out of their minds, like, "Oh my God, how did you guys put this together?" And they're like, "We don't want to tell you."
That was a third one that should have been easy, but I'm not going to give it to you because it was too easy, and it was also featured on Headbangers Ball during the commercial breaks.
I actually still have an original Stormtroopers of Death cassette that the last time I looked on eBay was worth a couple bucks.
Nice.
But
it's not the most valuable thing I own, but it's close.
But anyway, I haven't heard the final SOD album, which is called Rise of the Infidel, which came out
in
2000.
That's the re-release.
Yeah. But anyway,
there was
okay.
There was a rise of infidel directly in front of me.
Okay, you get 2 out of 5. If you get this final one, I might suck your cock.
If I get this one, does that mean that I win the title?
You will be a true metalhead.
I will win the world's best Restivo. Well,
and you will never get this ever in a million years.
Good luck.
Look at me, Daddy. Look at me, Daddy. Look what I can do.
What look the fuck is that? You sick son of a bitch.
This is a song, or is this a series
yes,
of videos?
Yes, it is a real song.
I'll tell you what the song name is, okay? It's called Raped by Elephants. If you can name the band, have at it.
Is that the Deathlock?
No. Yeah. Nobody would ever guess this.
I'm out.
Yeah, this is the hit song by Raped by Elephants by
Cannibal Corpse?
Close, but no, not quite. This is by a very famous band that only Jeremy knows, Torso Fuck. Torso Fuck, Raped
Total
by
Elephants.
Core.
Wait for the first verse.
No! That's a lyric? No. That is not a lyric. That is a guttural sound. That is not a lyric, guys. I don't know what that is.
Well, you are not 100% metal, obviously.
Get me my Neil Sedaka collection.
What do you think elephant rape sounds like?
Why don't you listen to some Paul Anka, you 80s metal man?
I will start listening to the Chris Restivo podcast.
Dave.
Remember that glorious failure.
If you got that one, I was sucking your cock, and I'd do it shamelessly.
Dave, where can people find you online if that they want to look up Dave's show for?
Oh, dear God, they don't have to. Just type in 14-year-old girl sadness at AOL.com, and then my entire...
I've never felt so alone as I do right now.
Well, no, it's very simple. If you type... first off, I don't know why you would want to find me, but if you do, Twitter is at Dave Schofer, S-H-O-F-E-R. Facebook is David Schofer, DavidSHofer. I may or may not take in your friend request. I don't know. There was another podcast that tried to do a little spamming contest with me, and that netted me a bunch of nothing. I do also a podcast. Both Eric and Jeremy have been a part of that. Vortex. The Vortex.
We'd love to be on again sometime.
We need to come back. It's been a year.
Close-ish. But
it was 2016. Though,
can I be completely naked during the next
one? I still have to have clothes. It's not my house.
What if
it's
I
Joe's
just
house.
Just underwear or
if
maybe
you
like
wanna
a
wear a
mankini, shell?
Go right ahead. But yeah, that's we're Joe and I are currently taking some time off. Basically, Joe's schedule's real busy, and I have.
And the name of the show?
Dave and Joe's awesome podcast show, because we are not original.
Where can they find that information?
SoundCloud.
Okay.
SoundCloud.
The best Star Wars episode ever.
Yeah,
our Star Wars episode went weird.
Yeah, if you want to hear the coolest Star Wars episode in the whole world, check out that. And then the show in general. It's a really good show.
Yeah, and then
the 2 hours that I talked about Mara Jade are the fucking golden.
It is that. Gentlemen and lady, it has been a pleasure to be here in the...
Thank you.
Be in the love dungeon that is the Estate Daily Woodworth.
Did you see the well? She's at least 30 feet down.
Yeah.
She puts the lotion on the basket.
You could catch Kimberly at
Watch Me Doing This.
There you go.
On Twitter, I'm at Panic at the Deli. On Instagram, check out at Die Laughing Productions on Instagram. I do that. The second Saturday Shit Show is coming up July. We have our Freedom of Speech show this month. Eric Frost is our headliner, and he is taping a special at the Auto Bar on the Shit Show upstairs. And it's free. Free parking, free show, upstairs. It's going to be super fun.
For everybody, I'm joining Antifa, and my new podcast is called Ass Assassin.
Ooh. All the asses you need.
And
all things
that.
Eric and comedy can be found at ericcomedy.com.
Is that with a C or with a K?
Eric with a K, because that's how regular people really spell it. Not to be fused with Eric Comedian, which is Eric Meyer's website. Eric Comedy, the only Eric Woodworth approved comedy site with Eric Woodworth.
And for those that follow Kim on Twitter, there's no G in Watch Me Doing This.
Yeah, Watch Me Doing
It. Watch Me Doing It. Watch Me Doing This.
Yes.
It's a very ghetto Twitter feed. Be prepared.
And thank you guys very much for tuning into the show. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and on Podbean.
Yeah,
go fuck yourselves.
Real hard.
Yeah, you fucking faggots. I'm Chris Restivo. It's funny because I actually slowed it down so it almost sounds legit. Like